Riz, we haven't done dealer's choice yet.
I was going to say, it's busy in here. I think that's why. I was building up to it. I was letting the...
Sorry, everyone.
Quite a busy... No, it's all right. I've been off doing stuff. We've had a fun chat. We should do it. Unfortunately, Garrett's had to phone in. He's been pulled away on non-grapple business, I think, is the thing. So he can't get away with it. But yeah, through the month, what we'll be doing is every one of these pre-shows, hopefully, we'll all get together and we'll reveal a dealer's choice week by week. JP was first up. Gareth will be next week. Then it's Matty. Then it's me last. So I get to spend the next 4 weeks thinking of a suitable punishment for whatever Matty puts us through. But JP, I suppose you're first. You know, give it the big build up. Do you want to let us know what your pick is for Dealer's Choice Month?
Okay. And you're going to have to go with me here on this. So it's like the one show that I host is Film Club.
I got it. Before you do, any guesses, Matty? I was going to throw this to Gareth as well.
I think JP did say, got read between the lines, it's going to be kind of a hybrid, I thought. So Film Club, it's something to do with, yeah, I don't know whether it's, I don't know, Ben. I don't know, really.
Now he said film. Yeah, I still think we get, like, there's going to be like another version of Gaya Girls or something out there. Like, I think there's going to be.
No, I don't think none of that. No.
No.
Serbian film. Oh, it could be Serbian film.
I hope so.
No.
I can watch it.
Be the bleakest show ever. We just sit there with our fucking heads in our hands, not laughing. But it's a film club. But there's two films.
Okay. And
Come on.
You said that if you did something.
You open the door for Matty and it'd be like, okay, it's the best of Randy Orton and there's going to be a volume 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 8, and 27.
I'll make the second one optional. Other than I will be talking about this because I've been itching to for the entire time we've been recording and the amount of references. The first one is a documentary. It's Heroes of World Class.
Yeah,
I'm on a world class kick.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, you know, so that's like that's the first one. So okay. I've always wanted to do that.
So, but JP, are we all, that's not optional. We've all
that's not this one. All going to watch that.
Yeah.
That'll be the main bulk of it. I've wanted to talk about world class. I keep thinking if we look at a show, it'll be shit. And this is possibly the best time to do it. And I get to say all the Fritz stuff. The second optional one also revolves around an absolute bastard. That bastard is Frank Booth, and the film is Blue Velvet, which I have banged on about for years. And Benno, Matt, he's only ever watched half of it.
Benno, you'd rather have the best of Edgy, wouldn't you? Let's be honest.
It is.
Hot start for a dealer's choice. This is going to get the people in this.
You did say that, Benno. You did. They were the rules, mate. They were the rules.
I regret everything.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready, ready. Let's get ready, ready. Let's get ready to rumble.
Watch us wreck the mic. Watch us wreck the mic. Watch us wreck the mic. Psych.
Hello, and welcome to Spotlight, the official podcast of Grapple. I'm Benno.
I'm JP.
And I'm Matty.
Not Reg, no. Going with Matty. Officially for this one, Matt.
Oh, this isn't catching on, Reg. I'm killing it in the water, Benno. It's not happening. Reg.
It is.
That's going to be your nickname when you start. Just been talking about that on the pre-show.
T-shirts, mate, with just fucking Reg Oldsworth, fucking face on, or whatever.
Matty, of course, is now. I think I'm going to make that stick. There's a Freudian slip from you on the mixtape that hopefully people have heard. Randy Orton and Edge, Reg, it makes sense. That's you summed up.
Why is it no one thought of it before that? That it, as you say, it took me to fucking slip a word for it to come into existence, didn't it? You know, fucking hell.
It's a t-shirt, mate. Immediately is what that is as well. And you've claimed copyright on it. So if people start using the term to describe Randy Orton and Edge, it's not Reg. It's anything else but Reg.
Better
like,
name.
Seriously.
But JP, rated RKO, Reg is a better name, isn't it?
That's what they should have gone with.
Should have gone with it. And we would have laughed for an entirely other different set of reasons. But I'm trying to think in Coronation Street, who would have been like the Randy Orton to Reg Holdsworth's Edge?
Gotta be Ken. Who's been there years? Ken Barlow or fucking Steve McDonald? In it, they like the stalwart.
Nah,
Kevin Webster.
But you talk about people on parity with Reg Holdsworth there as well, aren't you? On that, like someone who'd be like a tag team, like with Rated RKO. But no, Reg is just incredible. Won't ever refer to them as anything else.
We all recovered from that. Obviously, we've just been in the pre-show, which non-patrons now should know all about, considering we've just ended a free week with the pre-show from last week being available publicly, all the daily stuff. And we did record a grapple mixtape over the weekend that we put up on the free feed as well. Dealer's Choice Month officially / unofficially began with Matty putting us through our places by making us watch 45 minutes of Reg. So, you know, started well, Matt.
Well, it was hardly 45, but it was more like 12.
Yeah, like, no, those three like 45 parts, you know?
To you. Oh, like you fucking planting that fucking seed in everyone's head. But no, it was good, Ben. I mean, I have to pay just one back for that match. Like, only JP gave it positive feedback, but it was good. Rounds, fucking points. We had the lot in there, didn't we, Ben?
Oh,
TV
yeah.
Matches, the lot. We had it all. Covered it, lot.
I
love it.
Look, I walked out a big World of Sport fan. I love me some Rollerball Rico. Never said anything bad about World of Sport. Constantly put over the cartwheels and the fingers up the arse and stuff. Like, it was nice. Gareth got his reverse Necro Butcher Samoa Joe moment by me liking that. Gareth himself enjoyed my pick, which was literally a death match, the Lucha Underground match between AR Fox and Swerve Strickland. Like, you know, we all got a bit. JP got a little bit of his favourite stuff in. You know, we all that wasn't a 5-star match according to Matthew, but you know, that was a fun trip down there.
Far from a 5-star match.
He got as good as Edge Randy Orton on a random Raw in April of 2007. It's just not up there, JP. Though, you know,
did I say that?
Actually, even Edge and Randy Orton don't remember that match, mate. It's just you.
The first meeting, the Raw. Matty sat there. I was reminded by when we spoke, we did a show about our favourite wrestlers of all time. And I had Kazuchika Okada in there, to which Matty's first comment was, he's all right. And he'd go, yeah, I suppose in many ways you can describe him as all right. Like, he is. He's all right at wrestling. It's underselling it, I think.
Have you seen that list today that Jericho's put on his Instagram of the most 4-star matches in history? Have you seen it off Meltzer?
No.
Akada's number one, head and shot. He's got like 146 4-star matches, apparently, off Meltzer. Fucking hell, some going like.
Yeah, it is. It, like, honestly, like, I is, you know.
And he Randy or might
be doing some more interesting stuff, man.
You always get an extra star off Dave.
Like, don't you dare put Randy Orton in Akada's. I can't be accepting that at all.
You've never broke the 5-star seal, so there's not that. But no, I very much enjoyed that. It was good to get everyone together and doing and put it on the free feed. But on top of that, we've just in the Patreon pre-show, as well as a lot of talk of 90s game shows and what the IWC game shows of the time were, plus a lot of chat about physical media, physical jail, other things like that. JP, you revealed your Dealer's Choice show that we're going to be doing on the Patreon feed this week. Is it fair to say it's going to be all about the coward Fritz von Erich, the assassination of the coward Fritz von Erich, featuring World Class? Is that the plan? What's the explain it
more
to the patrons what we're doing?
Yeah. It's Heroes of World Class. I've always wanted to do some World Class stuff without, as I explained on the pre-show, without having to go back and actually watch like kind of the shows, because let's face it, not going to be great. They're very much of a time. If you wanted to watch one or two matches, but if we watched something like that, I don't know, that Flair versus Von Erich undercard, I can only imagine how shit that is from like sort of match one. So I wanted to do that just so we could speak about it, but primarily to get into Fritz Von Erich and by, to a lesser extent, David Manning, who you would have heard me kick off a minute before, over a half-watched Tales of the Territory episode that I saw with that. Man can only be described as a bullshit merchant. Very good one, but like his stories about Israel, I'm just calling bullshit on all of that now. Like, but yeah, so it's Heroes of World Class. It's, documentary. So yeah, really, really looking forward to watching that. I did try to sneak in a second pick. I was told that wasn't going to be the case.
Then old face, JP, you had to, people who weren't watching on YouTube or whatever, they had to have, that face was amazing when you revealed that second choice.
Well,
like, I just can't believe we're doing month one of Bullseye. I just can't believe that's what, no, we didn't say that. It's, tell the people what it is, JP.
Oh, the other one was Blue Velvet. I want you to watch that. I'm sick of banging on about Blue Velvet. I want us to watch it. But I will be making, I'll be trying my best to make as many comparisons of Fritz Von Erich to Frank Booth and certainly his attitude and callousness. So I'm really looking forward to that deep dive. There is a reason that man won most disgusting promotional tactic in the early 80s, by the way. Imagine what they were fucking up to. Those lads, like, seriously.
I can't wait, JP. I can't wait for this. Like, I'm fucking eager for this.
I think the age game will be fun with that one, because everyone there is going to be like,
oh, mate.
It's going to be like,
I know, we're always, even though we've covered it, we're doing Michael Hayes again. Every time we see Michael Hayes, we're just going to see how fucking old he was at whatever year.
Nail him down to literally the day and the hours of how old he is in any given moment. And then we'll all pinpoint in our own lives. Fuck me, I was 19 then. You know what I mean? I was working in the local offie. Like, I remember those days. And he's like a full-blown wrestler doing juice on 80s world-class shows.
Did his parents not say anything when he just like fucked off in a car one day at 17? Well, I'm off.
Yeah, gone. Just gone.
Just gone. What? Next thing you know, he turns up on local telly. Like,
yeah. Amazing. It's fucking mad.
Is that mate? You
look older than dad, probably.
Who, like, you get the school bus in the morning, the bus driver, you try and get the kids fair, and the bus driver would be like, no, don't be having me on. You're clearly 35 here. That's who he was. Mustache and all.
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm excited to do that, and hopefully we'll have a breakthrough moment like we did when Gareth liked a death match and I liked like we said on that show, I went down like literally, as proud as I was talking the Lucha Underground Ultima Lucha match and all of that, and the emotion of that and the violence of that appealing to everybody. I think the biggest shock was Gareth's pick of the World of Sport match with Rollerball Rocco and Jushin Liger being a hit with not only all of us, but me included. As I said on the show, I was on Wikipedia going down a wormhole following Rollerball Rocco's life, reminding myself of his exploits in Japan with his mate Terry, Andre the Giant, hanging around with Hogan in the 80s and stuff like that. I've become a Rollerball historian, so I'm hoping when Gareth comes to do his dealer's choice next week, it's going to be something related, but I don't know. I'm scared now after JP's reveal.
Don't be scared. You've nothing to be scared. Heroes of World. Come on, it's a documentary. Simon is right. We will get a Blue Velvet show on there at some point. We will do. I promise you.
We'll make
sure. Same day we make Matty watch a Serbian film.
That's what I'm scared of doing a pick. So, we'll.
That's your stag do, mate. Tied to a chair watching that.
I'll hold you to that now. but with that done, obviously, that's all coming up. Obviously, again, hopefully everyone enjoyed free week. If you did, patreon.com/grapple, where like last week, you can get Spotlight Live every week, get the weekend show live every week, video versions of all of the podcasts we do, plus our daily updates, weekend previews, and all of that good stuff. But yeah, hopefully other people have had a taste of that. We can talk the main stuff from this week. It must be a WWE-centric show, as we've got Matty on, the WWE expert here, Matty. Matty's here to go into floods of tears and to explain to us why the greatest wrestling storyline of all time took place this last weekend. I'm, of course, talking about the WWE Royal Rumble. And of course, talking about the Women's Rumble and how that went.
I'm waiting for a little fucking pun.
You were just crying for Lottie, mate. You're just scared for her future going forward.
Long she's the champion, Ben. Everything's right in the world, isn't it? Long she's the champion.
Did you recover from watching Sami Zayn and Ariel Helwani? Little birdie told me you that brought some of the emotions out of you.
It did, Ben. I mean, I don't know anyone who's ever like known me for a period or listened to me. I mean, Sami Zayn, Ben, I'll get applauded off myself. Is like, it's just wild in itself, isn't it? But no, it was. I did watch that interview, and I thought he come across well. Yeah, Sami, he was a good lad, didn't he?
You've always been a big fan, haven't you, Sami Zayn? Because when on week four of Dealer's Choice week, when I pick the El Generico versus Kevin Steen feud, I'm sure you're going to be very excited. There's a lot of basketball hoops in the background of that one.
Well, but Ben, to be fair, like I've seen, is it the ladder match with each other? That's like...
Yeah, there's the ladder war with the Briscoes as well. Maybe that's what you're seeing.
Yeah. No, I've seen the one with each other, is it?
Yeah, final battle.
That I've seen that in its entirety years ago. Mm. And I've seen the clips of the Briscoes one, and it's just chaotic. They just look absolutely fucking madness-like. But yeah, he's come a long way, hasn't he, old Sammy?
That's the thing. Like, I can remember going to that because when back in the day, PWD did the show in London. It was before your indies time, Matt. So you'd have missed out, unfortunately, in 2006, I think it was, it happened. Maybe it was 2005 even. I can't even remember. I remember going and it was like, I wish I, because some of the photos, I'm glad I haven't got anymore because of some of the people who are on the show. But I got like pictures with like Super Dragon. I definitely got one with Generico because I distinctly remember like when he, when all the wrestlers arrived outside the venue, he was unmasked. And it was like, from that day, it was like, oh, I know who that is. Like, it was straight away, it was like, that's clearly Generico without a mask. It's like a pale ginger bloke with a beard, you know? It's like, it felt like a big reveal moment, you know what I mean? That he wasn't even bothering to hide it as he walked the streets of London. But yeah, it's wild, like, see, like, you know, going from even like that period, like, I remember, like, him and Owens against, I think, AJ and somebody else in the main. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Davey Richards and Super Dragon. AJ was like earlier on the show. And, like, just seeing, like, those lads of all people, you know, considering, like, you know, how their ROH run went and, you know, they had that kind of peak maybe a little bit past, like, the ROH glory period. Then they had the fights with Cornette and ROH. And, like, there were points where, like, Generico just wasn't used by ROH because Cornette couldn't stand them that much, which is a great irony now, because he's, like, if you ever listen to any of his audio now, he's, like, the biggest Sami Zayn fan in the world. Like, you know, the NXT period where those lads had, like, you know, one of the greatest moments in NXT history with when Zayn won the NXT title and Owens turned on him because it was his debut night. Like, all of that stuff through to main roster. I thought them two were done. Like, I've got to hold my hands up a little bit in that, like, when Owens and Zayn were, you know, renegotiating, like, maybe it's because I'm such a high man on Kevin Owens. Like, I honestly, it's not even through trying to slag him off. And we've had this on this podcast before when Gareth's been on. Like, I honestly think, like, the ceiling for Kevin Owens is, like, is as high as it can get in wrestling. Like, I honestly thought at one point he could be, like, the modern Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know what I mean? And, like, that didn't happen for various reasons. And the two of them have had a decent run in WWE. But, like, ever since they've re-signed, like, I would have been with a person who said they probably should go to AEW. They'll probably get treated better. You know, I have my thoughts on Owens and Austin as a Mania main event and whether it really was a Kevin Owens main event.
Oh, I know that.
I can go into it again if you want me to. But, like, you can't complain about, like, where those two are, you know, in the card and in the grand scheme of things. Like, they are the hottest thing going into WrestleMania now, ending a Royal Rumble with, like, the hottest possibly best WWE angle in God knows how many years. Like, it's an unbelievable, like, if it's the end of the story or point in the story that we've gotten to here, it's just crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. I mean, we're talking about El Generico at this point, kind of the reaction, the babyface kind of reaction he's getting at this point. The reaction in Montreal is going to be like a sight to behold. They've caught fire with him. In some ways, I just wish this was happening 6 months ago. Because I'm still never convinced about, like, the potential of where it should really go to. Because I think part of the problem with this is I ended this show and I wanted to see Roman versus Sami Zayn. And I wanted to see Roman versus Jey Uso. I didn't really feel like I wanted to go into Cody Rhodes.
Let him just come on Raw tonight, mate. It'll be fine. He'll sort it out. I've got
Cody. Oh, we'll come out crying, Cody. He'll get you involved, JP. Don't you worry about that.
But that's the kind of bizarro situation that's there. And it's the absolute. I mean, before this tonight, I went through, there was a thread I'd seen on Twitter, which was somebody breaking down the story primarily of Jey Uso in all of this.
Amazing,
as well.
JP,
and building and breaking down.
About it. Yeah.
And then about Sami coming in. It's not like I agree with absolutely all of it. Like, I'd see perhaps some of it from a different kind of perspective on there. But you can't argue with this as proper long-term storytelling. And I think it's the kind of long-term storytelling as well that Roman Reigns is really into as well. This is the stuff that actually, by default, like, everyone looks great out of this. But that's what I want to see. Like, it's a strange that we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble generally. And it almost feels like WWE, what it does for its own fan base, they fucking love. Some of it completely, I think, is utter bullshit. But for them, it absolutely works. And this is like the high watermark of what they've done.
What did you make of it, Matty? I said, you know, they built it for so long, you know, and it's I mean, you as the WWE diehard on the podcast, you know, to you it's just another typically great WWE angle, isn't it? But it's out of the ordinary, this angle, isn't it, for WWE to pull through on this, to get everything right to this point.
Yeah, like the length, Jibeno, isn't it? That's what it is to me. It's the actual length of how long it's been going on. And as I said, I think it was speaking to Jamesy today. I think he's doing this. I don't know if it's the same thread that you're on about, JP. He's watching all the segments. And this started in the Thunderdome. This all started with Roman and Jey Uso, and there was no fans there. And they were doing this good stuff. I remember better at the time when I kind of said it was like the same thing every week and all that. But this is part of you watch any show, it's got the same backdrop, JP. Any good TV show has got the same fucking, as Cleary said that time, Frasier's dad sits in his fucking armchair kicking off at everyone, doesn't he? Every week it's building up to something, you know, and this has been building up, and just the addition of Sami Zayn into it, who, like, he wasn't even meant to be anything, was he? That's what even Sami Zayn said. It was like a couple of week thing, then it was this, that. It's just, it has been amazing. Now, I don't know about the greatest of all time, the way people are going on, but it's right up there, Ben. Do you know what I mean? We'll see how it ends, and I'm sure, as you just said, there's more confidence in fucking Triple H, isn't he, of paying this off. But it's just been, ever since the start, Ben, with Jey Uso, people forget these, and I might go all over the place because that's how good this storyline is. You know, people forgot about Jey's, the, like, Roman bullied Jey at the start into joining. He didn't ever want to join. And it's like, it's just been, he's been amazing as well in it, Jey Uso. Got to give him credit. He's been fucking amazing in this.
Everyone's been pitch perfect, like, in how they've done the story. And it's like, you know, it's funny, there's still corners of the internet who just, you know, who can, you know, watch something that's as well executed as this and, you know, as gets as good a reaction, you know, as this got, you know, an attentive reaction. You know, people in that building were hanging on every moment of this, you know, even where it, you know, it was quiet because they were waiting to see what happened next, and then
actually watching it
with the chair and the explode, like, you could feel the investment, you could feel like it's transcended, like, just the WWE hardcores, like, definitely. And I know I've been one of those people, you know, I am absolutely not a WWE defender. I will often argue with me, Matty, about how much good stuff they've really done over the last 20 years or so, you know, and I TV is not for me in general, but this story has captured something, you know, in wrestling, and, you know, it is for the most part wall-to-wall praise that you're seeing. You know, we can just call a spade for spade sometimes, even if it's not for you, you have to recognize that this has worked.
Yeah,
that, you know, even look at, like, the YouTube numbers and all the clips from that fell out of this. Even, like, I saw Brandon Thurston say earlier, like, the unofficial ones are doing ridiculous numbers on YouTube. The investment in this, like, whenever they do the match, which I presume at this point, based on what Meltzer's been reporting, is going to be in Montreal.
It's pretty much been confirmed, hasn't it? The news broke today, by WWE, but, like, it's pretty much. Yeah, we've said this months ago, though, boys.
That's it. And that is right there, you know. And we can talk about, you know, whether that's the way to go and, you know, the comparisons with the Cody stuff and that. But when that match happens, like, it is like, that's going to do monster numbers because people are invested in a WWE story. Like, I've been almost waiting for them to fuck it up. You know, waiting for, like, if Vince came back full time, you know what I mean? Sammy, you wouldn't have got this moment. Sammy would have just stayed as, like, you know, the weird hanger on to the bloodline forever until eventually, like, he just drifted off and did.
He just battered him, yeah.
He'd have stayed at that spot in the card, but instead, we've had this organic story where he's gotten over and people are into it and into the character beats. And, you know, I don't necessarily disagree that it's been slow in parts. They seem to have maybe sped it up, you know, these last few weeks, if anything, to the detriment of it. Somewhere like the story beats, you know, going to, like, the Heyman thing on Raw last week felt a little bit soon. You know, some elements of this turn I'll talk about it felt a little bit soon, which is ironic considering how long it's dragged out in its totality. But, like, there's little nitpicks I can throw in there. But yeah, it's a well-told long-term story that's going to pay off in a massive match, whether it's at WrestleMania or if it's, you know, what it seems to be Elimination Chamber the month before. Like, that's wrestling, is it not? Like, that's not what
it's proper. It's proper wrestling, man. I say it all the time, but this is proper fucking wrestling. It is. Sorry, JP, go on, mate.
No, you go first.
No, people are saying this, Ben. I'm sorry if I'm jumping the gun about the Mania stuff. You know, obviously it's got into where it's Roman and Sammy, but it's always been Jey and Sammy as well as Jey and Roman. These are, like, the subplot. Like, Jay was against him for how long? He finally accepted him. He we had all this at Survivor Series when he had to make his choice. He let Jay Uso get the pin on Kevin Owens. It's always been about that. Roman's obviously the champion and the leader, so it's obviously going to go into him as well. But that's why I like this idea of it's in Montreal, as JP said, and yourself, you're going to get a massive fucking all night. You're going to get a great reaction, great match out of it. And it's going to lead to WrestleMania, which we've said on this, and myself specifically, it's going to be the Usos against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens for the tag team titles. And it should be the main event. People clamor for like tag team wrestling. That'll be the main event of the night one of WrestleMania. And that's the story that's what's going to happen, I think. Jay's apparently left the bloodline. He's put on Instagram, hasn't he, that he's actually left and stuff like that. That'll be Roman will bully him into making his choice, and he'll help Roman Reigns win, I think, at the Elimination Chamber. And I don't fantasy booking him yet, but it's just got me that excited, Beto. It's fucking amazing, mate. It really is.
Yeah, it's one of those. And it's good for that. And how often do we not like fantasy booking? As the part of the problem with it is it's been at the whims of someone who has no idea about long-term storytelling. It does feel like, because it's Roman, that effectively having Heyman there, not just as an on-screen character, but backstage to go, there is a way of doing this. I'm not saying it's like Raven and Tommy Dreamer, something like that. But what you end up doing is you end up incorporating a whole cast of characters into this.
Yeah.
And everyone gets over by default. I think the issue is, and Will mentioned earlier on the chat, it's like the Royal Rumble's become a complication in this. Because this should be the Mania main event. Because it's the match that's entirely over. Now, if Sami Zayn ends up being the one to kind of dethrone this long-term title reign, then that's like the kind of thing you have to do at Mania. So I wondered if the Elimination Chamber would be for perhaps night two of WrestleMania, who would face the winner of Cody Rhodes versus, but then that makes night one completely predictable as well. Cody to the wolves.
Yeah.
And things like that. But you kind of have to do this match there because that's really what it demands. And I think anything else, and this is where you won't have got the turn because they were very clever in how they structured out the card, having the men's rumble first. So you don't have the issue with Sami Zayn being there. Everyone knows that what you're waiting for, the Sami Zayn stuff, it's the main event.
I'm making Cody at the end of the night. 30. I thought it was really smart as well, because it was like you didn't have that Rey Mysterio moment where it was like, oh, is it going to be Brian? Is it going to be Daniel Bryan? And then it's Rey Mysterio. It was like everyone knew Cody was coming and he's number 30. So of course he's there. It kind of, I thought that was smart. And it was, I think we probably should have seen it coming. Like when they put Owens and Roman as the main event, it was like, okay, something bigger is happening here. And I've seen some criticism of the
I've got a tenner on Cody, so I did all right.
That worked out. Well, I made some air winnings.
One of those 13-8 on odds, he seemed like an absolute banker to me.
I'll be talking some my winnings up. Thank you, Logan Paul, in a little while. But yeah, like that main of that going on last. I mean, I get the criticism. The Owens Roman match basically didn't matter because we were all watching it. I mean, in any circumstance, I don't think that mattered because I don't think anyone believes Kevin Owens is beating Roman Reigns. It goes to my overall point about, Owens' slot in WWE in general. He's the guy who, talks up the Austin match and then gets beat. He's not, the equal of these top level guys. He's that level below. But that's fine. His role in this was fine in that main event. And what people wanted to see was this angle, taking place afterwards. You can call it amateur dramatics. You can call it whatever you want. You have to call it as over. And that's what it was. And it was just, the execution of it. Was it the way you expected it to go down? Like the way they did it in the end with the, with the post-match, with the Usos going too far in there and beating down Owens and Sami finally snapping. I kind of expected them to go the other way. I thought it would be maybe Zayn refuses to get involved in the Owen stuff and you don't get that.
And they battered him.
Yeah, you don't get that moment.
He doesn't hit Roman.
I think that would be more sympathetic and almost, I think that would be a better story. But then, I don't know, it's wrestling and they can't resist getting that, the Seth Rollins hitting the Ambrose or hitting the Roman in the back with
a good callback, I thought. He wanted that, Ben. Didn't he? Yeah. And it was one of them, Benno, where you say about Kevin Owens. I thought it was amazing the way, obviously, you're right, the match itself didn't matter, but it's the definitive way Roman won. Them two, back of the head into the steps, they were nasty in itself. Great bumps he was taking, but it was like, it made a good reason for Kevin Owens to fucked off that. He's going to be, he's done enough in the match to win. Then Roman's taking it too far after this. So I thought the way he'd done that and laid that out as well was fucking perfect. So, and then obviously everyone else jumping in. But yeah, I'm with you. I didn't see it coming like that. And I didn't expect the Jey Uso bit. That was the one that, that was the fucking, as we all say, the chef's kiss on here for me. That was the one that's like, I didn't expect that at all. I just thought he'd jump in. But I, once again, knowing all the storyline, I should have knew that it's always been Jey's with Roman. So it's honestly, it's just so well done, boys. Honest to God, it is.
I mean, Mikey mentioned something in the chat there about actually there's an easy, well, I say an easy direction you can go in with this. If you split the titles, Cody has night one and then Sammy wins the Elimination Chamber to get the shot on night two. You have those matches, they lose, and then you go into Roman versus Jey as a story kind of external of the title. Then you've got Gunther, who is kind of prepped then for Cody, possibly then for something for Cody.
Yeah.
At that point, if you can get him onto that. And it just sort of freshens stuff up and takes Roman out of the mix.
Can I just jump in? Sorry, I'm being positive, boys. What, can you believe we're actually talking about fucking, like, you know, possibilities of WWE matches here and not being like the one fucking same match?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. It's great. It's fucking refreshing, though. Well,
I don't feel I've done this since the late 90s, to be honest with you. Like, I've never tried to work this out. Possibly, no, tell her, like the early 2000s. And I just gave up. So I went, oh, that fucking loon's in charge. But this is interesting. I would say the cloud of all of this is, I wonder if we're going to hear news about if Vince is backstage and things like that. If, because this feels very much like, there was a couple of things he thought, well, what would Triple H, who are the people he would be wanting to put over that night? And you kind of go, there's Sami Zayn being put over. There's Cody. There's Rhea Ripley. It feels like the kind of people that he would say necessarily, that it's not the kind of stuff where there'd be big pushback. It's when Vince gets involved and goes, nah, not having Sami Zayn beat Roman Reigns. We spent years trying to build this guy up. We can't have this guy win. Like, and that's where the rubber kind of hits the road. That's why I don't have faith in this. Why I think there's still stuff about this is up to chance. Because look what Vince has done. He's back in Titan Tower. People have already been kicked out. Just the final bit is the creative. We're in the road to WrestleMania. So he's going to go, all right, get this Montreal match out of the way, but there's no fuck. Like, I could see him doing it and kind of tearing up plans. And I think that still is a live, viable issue for them.
An argument JP, to get the match quicker rather than later, isn't it, Matt? Okay, let's get it done.
I'm against JP in a way that should go on at Mania. I think it's right it goes on at Montreal because, you know, it's over anyway. In any town, it'd be over, you know, because the storyline's that hot. But it's going to be molten in it and you're going to shift one way or the other. Roman, I think Jey will get involved and you're going to shift all the heat onto Jey and the Usos going into that tag match at Mania that makes that the main event. And that's going to be a massive match in itself because they're the undisputed, you know, we're talking in kayfabe stuff, whatever. They're the longest tag team champions of all time. So it'll mean something extra more when they win the tag belts. You know, best mates winning it at WrestleMania and ending that fucking long streak. So I think once they'll do this right, get the heat onto that match. And then as the only thing is, you've just got to obviously fucking heat Cody and Roman up then. But once again, I'm sure that will happen. So I don't know. It's just great though. The possibilities, boys, I love it.
it's one of them. It's the fruits of actually, you know, spending some time and putting and storyboarding something and, like, you know, the people involved taking ownership of it as well. Like, you know, you can tell this is like something that is close to, like, you know, Roman wants things to be a certain way. Zayn knows how his cat, you know, you hear any interview with him, you know, jokes about the Helwani thing. Like, you know, like he's closely, you know, keeping an eye on what happens, what his character does and says. Heyman's got a lot of influence on this stuff too. It's like, you know, I opened up, you know, making fun of the idea of, like, this giving, like, you know, an emotional reaction. But that's what good fiction does, you know? And I think
wrestling, you know, it is. Taking pride in what you do. Taking fucking pride in what you do. Being involved. Roman signed this new fucking deal, didn't he? I'm sure obviously no one gets creative control like fucking Terry these days, but he's got to have a say. He's got to have a good say in what he's doing. And I'm sure he does. And as Benno said, it's taking pride in what you do. It's fucking, you know.
You can see it in everyone's performances in this, through the angles leading up to it, through to, you know, Saturday Night at the Rumble and the way that was so well executed. Like, and everyone was great in their role. You know, Dane was incredible, you know, showing the, you know, not sure what to do about Owens getting beaten down. Roman was brilliant. Like, some of the one-liners he was throwing at Zayn.
Unbelievable,
like,
battle.
Yeah, go back to doing jackass shit and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
unbelievable. Him into
doing it. That was a cracking line.
What a line that was.
It's just so funny to see, like, you know, the like the people who just... And I've been there, don't want to give WWE any credit, don't want to, it's like the reverse, you know, the way we accuse WWE fans of having brainworms, JP, it's like reverse brainworms, where it's like, no, you know, oh, the crowd awareness, oh, it's not about the wrestling, it's about the melodrama, oh, it's like, it's like, just, you've got to accept sometimes that, like, this has been done well, you know, you can admit, I didn't like it, you could admit, you know, this isn't to my take. It, how many times do you say that, JP? It's not for me. It's fine to say that. You don't have to stretch to justify it and pretend, you know, the crowd aren't as into it as they were, or pretend there's, you know, don't put things wrong with it, or pretend, well, actually, you know, that's the other one I've heard banded about. Or if you think this is, you know, well-told storytelling, I'm begging you to watch a film or watch a TV show. That's another one people will throw out there. Like, it's just bollocks. Like, you could say that about anything in wrestling. Like, even the... It's wrestling. It's fucking stupid by its nature. Even the greatest stories in wrestling history that we've seen take place are all still to build up a stupid play fight between two pro wrestlers. Like, if you think we are not above any other form of entertainment here, you know what I mean? The stuff that you like, even if it's more, you know, it's more of a niche than, you know, mainstream WWE, still isn't any deeper than, like, you know, a fantastic indie film or TV show. But, you know, there can be I love a Fast and Furious film. There can be a well-done action film that isn't the smartest thing in the world that still gets you with that emotional beat, you know. Vin Diesel being sad that Paul Walker's or that Brian's gone in Fast and Furious, for example. You know what I mean? Like, that's a stupid fucking film with men flying each other in cars. But they can get you in that little emotional moment if you tell the story well within that medium. And, like, I just think it's a very easy thing for people to go to, because this is a form of wrestling they don't like. This is WWE. So it's ridiculous that people are treating it like any other medium. But, like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, for the fucking, you know, Sons of Anarchy is not the deepest show in the world. I know you love that, Matt. You know what I mean? Me and you, JP, we've got our
voices from a TV show. Cammy, I was watching it.
Yeah.
Awesome, sure. Gave some tears. It's like, I'd love to see the watch history, JP, of some of these people who are acting like they're too big to admit that, you know, WWE, of all people, have told the story well, and the people involved have done a good job.
I mean, there's simple economics as well. You can look at this, how successful it is.
JB, I was going to bring numbers in a minute, and I'm not a numbers guy. I was going to throw some at you, Benno.
Like, these, it's one of the successes that they've had that probably doesn't get spoke, like, in terms of the financial stuff. Like, you have the Saudi shows, you have the TV deals. They obviously take up a lot of the airspace, but it's the idea of moving the Rumble, basically, and SummerSlam to stadiums. Is something that is working. They don't always sell them
Saturday,
out. Like this,
on a Saturday, JP, as well.
On a Saturday, yeah. Exactly, which they had to do because there was the NFC and AFC championship games going on the Sunday. So they had to do it then. And what, 7.7 million gate? I think it was like 44,000 that was reported or something like that. That was from WrestleTix, but they lied. They said it was 51,000. Assume that's bollocks. You mentioned the social media numbers and everything else. It has been on all the metrics that they take seriously. This has been a big success. And it's appealed very much to their fan base, who are engaged generally with these stories. Things like Judgment Day, which I shake my head at. And some of it, like, if you are... We haven't spoken about Bray Wyatt. We're going to get to...
Don't worry.
But, like... I think it's like you're still getting shit on these shows. It's just that audience there, they're all right with it as long as the people they ultimately like are kind of shown in prominent positions. And I think Sami Zayn's story and all of that is the success of it, because it didn't rely on bringing in some high-priced talent in order to come in and main event because they seem like they are a star. This is taking people who you've kind of ground down into this audience for a very, very long time in Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, using their back history in a way. And my God, how many times has that been used now? Like, see, like, but it's still being used here in a different way, because it's not them feuding with it, but it made the connection. It was the thing that was like Sami had seen too much. because it was doing this to his best friend.
And that's a bit wrong, so, like, because we've seen the things Owen's done to Jay. That's a weak point of the story, I would say. You can paper over it, but...
You can paper over it.
Yeah.
With this, but I've seen someone say it's like they always turn on each other, but once someone else tries to hate them, it's like having that big brother where you fight each other, but then if someone else hates your brother, you'll stick up for him. That's what it's like. Yeah. And I like that part of it.
That's exactly, I think that's exactly how they've pitched it. And they kind of can make it work because it's true. There isn't like any wild, like having Sami Zayn as like a mad conspiracy theorist for a while and things like that. That's not who he is. But this, like in terms of this, you're getting people playing much closer versions to themselves, obviously amped up in many ways. That crowd was chanting, fuck you, Roman. Yeah. Really incredibly loudly. Well,
that's territory heat, JP. That's old school heat.
For the first, the heel, like, cheer it, in the face.
Yeah.
What's going on in 2023? It feels... No, grey areas in sight here. What's going on?
And when was the last time we could talk about a Mania main event which really feels like it's not just high-priced stars that you're bringing in? You're not having to bring in a Goldberg or a Taker or a Michael or someone else you're bringing in from the outside. You're talking about like being able to do this stuff with Sami fucking Zayn. And I'm convinced it wouldn't, like, if you brought Brock Lesnar in that main event, that's not going to sell out any more tickets. I think it'd sell a lot less than what Sami Zayn would at this point in time.
Weird. I think that's the matters. Like, sorry. Yeah, because it's not going to be the Mania main event, I don't think, is the unfortunate counter to that. But, like, it could be. You know, they could go that route. I think it's unlikely.
It could be. That was a good thing to say. I don't think it will be. But the fact we're actually saying Sami Zayn can main event WrestleMania is an achievement in its fucking self, that, mate. Come on.
Especially considering, like, he was basically, like, I was making fun of him. It's like Nakamura. I was like, he's basically retired.
Retired, yeah.
Because he was, really, for all intents and purposes.
Until Johnny Knoxville come call him, Benno.
Yeah, lit a fire under his ass, didn't he? But, like, that's something that's been thrown around with this, Matt. I'll ask you, like, is, you know, people calling it the best storyline in wrestling history, one of the best WWE storylines of all time. Like, I'll caveat it with, I think it is one of the best WWE storylines of all time. I think it's the best since, I'd say, the Batista Triple H stuff for me. Yeah. And again, I'm not the WWE defender. 80% of the rest of that product's not for me. You know, we could spend every week ripping apart the production and the way they tell stories and do their undercard, but, like, we'd just be boring people. It's not an interesting conversation. Just believe me when I say the majority of the WWE product is still not for me. But this has captured, like, my imagination, and for me, maybe it's because it stands so far above the rest of the show. Maybe there's an element of that as well. But, I don't know, is Batista and Triple H the last great story they told like this, Matt? Like, is it up there for you?
A long term one, Benno. I mean, yeah, off the top of my head, definitely. That's because even Batista Triple H, that was like 5 months, maybe 4 or 5 months, really. And they kind of went in and out, but like it was hammered home like around January. So you got like 4 proper months. This is I count this, boys, since the funder, since Roman come back, basically, is when I think this whole thing starts with Jey Uso again. I know once again I'll keep mentioning his name and that, but, and we're talking about Sami Zayn, but this does start all back then, boys, 3 years ago nearly, in the Thunderdome. And that's why I think, Benno, it is one of the greatest. I don't know obviously I'm a big Roman man, so I'm obviously it is up there, but until I see the end, which I'm in no doubt it's going to be amazing. Once it actually concludes, then I might say it, but I'm not saying it yet, if that makes any sense to you. But it's definitely in the conversation, 100%.
It's making WWE worth your brain power. How many times, JP, have we gone go back to last year's Rumble when we were talking about that one? I think you and Garrett did that show and I did the one after. And it was like, my main takeaway was, it was shit. I had a laugh in parts, but it's not really worth me brain power to sit down and try and analyse it. It's just all shit. Like, this is making WWE worth, you know, that little bit of brain power. I actually think WWE's a happy point for me right now, because it's like, I almost don't want Raw to be that good. I don't want to have to watch Raw for 3 hours every Monday. You know, Dynamite's enough each week. That gives me great wrestling every week and a TV show I can sink my teeth into. SmackDown, I can take or leave. But, like, this story and the pay-per-views are worth time. They're worth talking about. Like, since, you know, we can... The Triple H week to week, I don't think he's really made the difference as far as Raw and SmackDown goes, but I think they've had a consistent run of pay-per-views and they've got this top-line story. That's enough for me with WWE. I keep them at arm's length for that reason, because I've been punished so many times over the years.
Yeah.
But this is so good that it's even making me think, it's worth giving them that time. It's worth giving them that, you know, that brain space.
it's worth giving them the social media time. It's not worth, like I would say, sitting up watching actually watching the television Raw. Because it's watching Raw. Like that's still something I can't.
We're a kip, JP, when it's on, aren't we? We're a kip.
Oh, you haven't watched Raw since 2016. You piped down, you.
There are. I mean, I think it's at this point, it's the most successful storyline since. I mean, I suppose Daniel Bryan would be that, but that's a storyline that they actively tried to ruin. It was a storyline that worked.
JP, I hated that at the time as well.
That's because you're literally like the reason.
Because if they,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that was it. But then they complicated it by putting it in a main event where it was like Randy Orton. Yeah, like say Randy Orton versus Batista. That's what people really want, and it was just like, no, they fucking don't. And I do wonder about the same situation kind of like arising here from this point. Like it'll be because how many people like on, you know, the time of recording on Monday, how many people like the crowd on Raw, they're going to be chanting for Sammy and stuff like that. That's going to be an interesting thing to monitor. Not that I'll be monitoring it because I won't be watching it, but it is something at least to hold your hand that they can like, this is just for this as much as anything else. It's just about leaving a story alone. And being allowed to have it told in a way and giving it time and letting it kind of engage.
Yep.
And letting, as you Definitely. Mentioned before, it's as much about letting the performers take control of this, not an army of scriptwriters. It's like, it feels like they're kept well away from it. They obviously have their hands, all the writing team have their hands all over the other products and many cooks and the usual WWE problems.
That's why you get those great moments because, like, you know, the everything, you know, Sammy's natural reaction to it, Roman's in the moment, even the stuff like, you know, covering Sammy's body in the rose petals from all of those little
amazing,
it's done
amazing
with love and attention to detail in it, Matty. Like, all of those little moments
yeah,
in it,
the visual at the end, yeah.
That it's not some writer writing it, it's the people involved feeling it and knowing their characters and knowing their place in it. Like, it was just unbelievably well executed.
I would just say though, they didn't all fucking drag it on at points.
It was a bit long. Like, towards the end. I think that's okay. I mean, the pay-per-view itself was a little bit on the long side. It was.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
But I, at the same time, like, because I don't like, because AEW, when they run too long, it can definitely become a drag. I get a bit annoyed when there's Americans on Twitter moaning that it's 11:30 and it's like, come
you
on.
You always
like,
hate that fellow, don't you?
The show didn't start till 1 a.m. for us. Shut the fuck up. It's fucking 11:30. You're not eight.
Stop, man.
You know what I mean? You can stay up till 11:45 on a fucking Saturday night. You're fine, you know. It's wall to wall. It's always people on the East Coast as well. The fucking worst. Then I think the show was well paced because it wasn't that many matches. So while it was long, I didn't necessarily have a problem with it. And I think, I don't know, what do you think, Matty, is a payoff to a story that has taken this long to tell? I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing to
If not perfect, for me, it was. And as you say, it would have felt even longer if the fans weren't reacting or not on Bennett's.
Yeah.
They were involved, as you said, they were hanging on every movement, every fucking direction they were going. And even, you know, we haven't even given the other, like, Jimmy Uso. We've got to give him Solo Sikoa. Even at the end when did you watch it all the way at the very end and the WWE signs up at the bottom and Roman saying to him, we're at war now, Solo. Yeah. We're ready to go to war. And even Solo's face is like a bit like confused because it's his brother. Jay's his brother, isn't it? It's like he's conflicted, but he's going to be a good soldier and probably stick with Roman. So,
and that's been a full element everyone involved. So his interactions between the characters, because Solo was like Sammy's backup for a while until eventually he turned as well.
Yeah.
There's all these little personal things, aren't there, if you are paying attention to it.
100%. But as a, can I give you some numbers, Ben? Just because I know you're the numbers guy. We've got, as JP said, we've got a live gate of $7.7 million, which is double the Royal Rumble record. Mm-hmm. This is off your man, Brandon, as well, Benno. You've got viewership of the event is up 52%.
Oh, well, that's
last
bollocks.
Year.
I'm not having that one. That's nonsense.
Peacock subs have roughly doubled since last year's event.
I mean,
I knew about the merch sales.
That's because they're on Peacock and not on the network. I don't think that's really a number. Like, it's the most people that ever watch. Yeah, that's because it's not on pay-per-view for $80 anymore and not on a niche network service. I don't know. I want that one.
Okay, and you've got merch sales are up over 100% from last year, but I did hear the rumours, and this isn't even Bloodline. Did you hear that Cody's merchandise actually sold out before the fucking show had even started?
Yeah.
So that just shows, like, the level of investment in WWE at the minute, as JP's saying. So it's just one of them, boys. I'm fucking loving it. It was in front of 50,000. Yeah, this it was in front of 50,000 fans as well. So it makes it even fucking, you know,
come get on.
The visual even better. Well, you know, JP, 45.
They did that filming in the corner thing, which is canny. Don't get me wrong, but they're very clever doing that.
But it wasn't empty, was it?
WAW did that when they ran Norwich and they had Grant Holt. They just ran the corner in a stand and had the cameras like
with the hotel in the background, the Travelodge or whatever it was. See, this is the spin. You're doing your best Mattynomics here, basic Mattynomics the show title. But like this is the spin Triple H is going to be doing. It's going to be the biggest WrestleMania ever. Yeah, it's because it's over two nights, and also it's on Peacock and not on pay per view or WWE Network anymore. But there's some truth to it. There's a for WWE. There's a hot story going on that's gonna, you know, pay off. Who knew? You know,
I knew I'd get it out of your bed eventually.
I was still if you invested.
Yeah.
We still don't know how it hit into the mainstream, but certainly what it has done is engaged the base in a way that they haven't been for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And they're hot for a story that involves about six people that you can get a variety of different matches out of, all of whom can go in the ring and all of whom are more than capable of being able to tell that story. And I think that is that's largely to their credit. Now, in other areas, it all goes it goes to shit and there's still a load of question marks and you do wonder about certain things. But it's more, if you ask me what my overall your overall feeling is, it's like, was this show a success? And you kind of look at that ending and then you look at where they were really at the start, you kind of go, yeah, it was. And the crowd reacted in ways that they wanted them to react at certain points. And if they weren't reacting like that, well, it didn't matter because they were in the dark.
So. We'll get to that. Chris says here, the ratings are going to be interesting to watch for the fall. Yeah, you know, how hot are we in this WrestleMania period? I guess we'll see. But unless you've got anything else on this angle, should we switch gears to talk Cody? I suppose that's the other big story coming out of this one. Matt, he's won the men's rumble, an opener for the men's rumble. Just felt wrong, you know. It was like, it only, you know,
first time ever.
I was watching it live one in the morning. And the spoilers had come through that that was going to kick things off, and it's like
I stayed up for it, Ben, just that match because I knew it was first. I watched that live.
Oh, you were watching it live. Me there. Oh, nice. So you have a hot Weetabix on the go while you're watching it, or
I was in bed, Ben. I was actually in the bed,
I love it. But yeah, I mean, I had like JP said earlier, I had a couple of sneaky bets on him. Logan Paul getting to the final four, sorting me out, and oh boy, Cody getting the joint most eliminations with Gunther. Definitely, got 15 quid off each. So, you know, I'm rolling in the money this weekend, lads, after that one. What did we make of it before we get into Cody, I suppose, what did we make of it as a rumble, as an overall overall match? I said on the daily update earlier, Matt, for me, it was like, it was a bit pink by numbers. Like, I felt like, I don't know, there was something a bit messy the way it was laid out for me. It felt a bit like every time something big felt like it was happening, we'd go to another entrance, and it was like they were relying overly on the entrances for the moments, if that makes sense. It just didn't feel like much was happening in the ring, apart from maybe the Lashley-Brock moment. Obviously, there's a big moment with Logan Paul I want to talk about as well. But for me, it was a bit nondescript until those last, you know, 5-10 minutes with Cody and Gunther, which were incredible. And I say this about wrestling all the time. It's the Okada match. People only remember the hot closing stretch. Most of their rating comes across that hot closing stretch. But yeah, I've heard different talk on it. Like, I didn't think much of the Rumble match itself. I've heard people talk about it as one of the greatest Rumbles of all time. Pretty sure Dave Meltzer said that. Where did it land for you, Matt?
Your man, Your man.
There's no such thing as a bad Rumble. Yeah, but I thought this was middling. Where were you?
No, I thought it was, I wouldn't say it's nowhere near one of the best for me, but it's a breeze to watch. It was a good, solid Royal Rumble for me. As I say, not one of the best of all time, but you're not wrong with it, I don't think, Ben. I think, you know, you had the Gunther, obviously, going coast to coast, you know, enough. You had, you know, Cody coming back. You had your Brock stuff. even Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, like that was the only one for me. A bit detailed, that didn't get much of a payoff, did it? But they were working together all match. You know, Kofi missing his spot for the second year in a row, Ben. He's meant to do something when he landed on the chair and stuff. Feel sorry. He needs to jack that in now, though, doesn't he? 2 years in a row, he needs to like pack that one in. But no, I thought it was just a breeze, Ben. And obviously, Logan put Edge coming back. I know people aren't happy about that, but it ties all the storyline up.
No rage, though, sadly.
Edge's big comeback.
What's that? Nobody, and even the Rey Mysterio. Yeah, nobody, it tied that up. And you had the Rey got injured, apparently, didn't he, by Karrion Kross, which everyone's going to be upset about.
I'm but, upset, mate.
Me
he played that in with the Dominic stuff coming out in his match. So obviously, the story. Yeah, the storyline's going to be obviously that Dominic took him out and stuff. So that carries that on to WrestleMania as well. So I thought it was a good Rumble, Ben, yeah.
Yeah, I'm upset about the Ray one, mainly because I had money on him, and Sky Better refusing to give me money back because he didn't come out. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, you know, it didn't... I suppose there comes a point, doesn't there, JP, where, like, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, you do want your big... I saw Flutter say, these lads don't know how to book a Rumble. You've got to have your big moments, your big surprises and stuff. And I say, yeah, that makes sense when you're booking a Rumble in Preston. But I think there comes a point where, like, you know, the great Rumbles, the 1992 Rumble, even the 2000...
Use the roster? Yeah.
2001 Rumble, Matty said they used the roster, and there's come a point where it became the thing to do all of these cameos and bring all these old guys back. And we sat there on JP on Friday doing the weekend show trying to come up with exciting people that could have come in. There really weren't anywhere there, you know, and I wouldn't include Booker T, you know, in a list of people I'm excited to see. There's something to be said for doing a Rumble, like you say, Matt, with your roster, with your core roster that you've got. And I think that part of it I did like, even if, like I say, the execution wasn't quite there for me. What were you thinking of it, watching it through, JP? I assume you watched it the morning after.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I did try, and it woke my girlfriend up, basically, through like one of the crowd entrances. And it was, oh, for fuck's sake. So like, I kind of went, I'll leave this for the morning on here. I thought where this ranked, like, I agree generally with a lot of the points. I probably enjoyed it a little bit more than you. I mean, on the app, I went 3.25. What the hell are you going to rate a Rumble?
Yeah.
Because in some ways, it's never really going to get above that, like, to a certain point, unless it's like the 92 Rumble. You don't even really go 5 stars for that, because it's
2001, JP. 2001.
The fabled 2001 Royal Rumble.
I cannot remember it. JP, I can't believe it.
No, can you? That bit your head out, did it, Benno?
100%.
Just shocked. But I thought, okay, so what do Rumbles need to achieve ultimately? And did it achieve those things? Did it have the kind of right reaction at the end? Yes. Were the crowd generally engaged? Yes. Did it build up a couple of people? Yeah. Like, and you know, a couple of them that I'm not particularly mad about. It didn't have the surprises. I was less bothered by that, probably because I had such low expectations generally. But I never found, like, even though I wasn't perhaps like excited by it, I wasn't like completely turned off watching it. I didn't completely disengage. It wasn't like having moments where there were complete wastes of time coming in. There were people in there you kind of think they were doing things with. So having, obviously, Gunther coming across great as the Iron Man, which kind of is the idea. You can have him as the monster, but he doesn't look like a monster.
No. So, set the record, JP.
What else do you need to do?
All-time record, doesn't he?
Yeah. Have him as the Iron Man. They did the thing around Cody. Probably it wasn't what I would have wanted. It wasn't what we were predicting. But ultimately, it's the kind of thing where, you know, I was generally quite, you know, I was okay with what they did and what they tried to achieve for it. Lashley Lesnar 3 for Mania, fine. Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins, why not? We haven't gone into the spot for that. Sheamus having some sort of Indian summer to his career is quite nice for someone I've been at best ambivalent about Same. For such a long time. It's good. They're like getting, he's 45. They said his birthday. I didn't want to say his age. I mean, I think there comes a point, just given what is apparently the state of his back, I'm kind of amazed he's doing this. Having him in a tag team with Drew McIntyre, why not? Why not? It's something, it's a direction to go in post-Mania.
JP, you've got it for me. You've got
the
a
crowd
with Sheamus and Gunther at WrestleMania, and I've put his career on the line. No, it sounds melodramatic because he has never done that IC, has he? So after Korea versus IC and haven't beat Gunther at wrestling, and they'll have a fucking anger, won't they?
And then go into Gunther Cody. You need to take Gunther out of that Intercontinental title.
Exactly.
Have him out of there as well. You can have Imperium versus Brawling Brutes as well on the kind of side to a lot of that stuff. I mean, it's absolutely fine for it. So even though it was 80 minutes, it was one of the longer ones, even though there wasn't like the big surprises, which, yeah, like I say, I'm probably in the minority for it. I was less bothered about. I thought they did an okay job. One of the best Rumbles ever? No. One of the worst? No. And what have we had really for the last decade? A lot of shit and a lot of angry fans generally. And we didn't get that.
I mean, I thought, you know, I think that the Sheamus and Gunther stuff and, you know, the Imperium and Brawling Brutes thing to the point, outside of the Roman Sami Zayn universe, that's been the other best thing in WWE. Again, the vast majority of TV is not for me, but on the quiet, they've been having great matches, you know, say it quietly, banger matches, you know. They have been killing it. And I think them two getting that moment at the start of the Rumble really worked for me. As Simon says, you know, yeah, I'm expecting that to be an in-joke that that Gunther is the Iron Man of the Rumble, but he was. I didn't think he did much in the match. That was maybe the only negative. I mean, I know he was out there for an hour and 10 minutes, but he didn't do much memorable. He had the stare down with Brock. But then this is what I mean about the sloppy pacing of it. Like, it felt like maybe the Kofi thing bled into that. Maybe, you know, because Kofi was supposed to land on the chair and he didn't. Please retire doing those spots, Kofi. You're too old now. Maybe that knocked things out of sync, because it felt like Walter and Gunther were supposed to have either more or less of a moment, because, like, they did the stare down and then they came to blows with Lashley's music playing in the background, which just kind of killed it. You know, I'd rather they did nothing than did that. I'd rather they just stared and, you know, maybe Kofi was going to come in with a springboard and split them up, or, you know, something was supposed to happen that didn't. But it was just missing just that little bit more for me. But, like, I'm not going to complain too loudly about, like, you know, again, Gunther, you know, Walter signing for NXT UK shouldn't have ended with this. You know, we talk about the wildness of Sami Zayn being in, like, WWE's hottest story and Kevin Owens too. Like, that story's even wilder. He signed for WWE UK, Walter of all people. And here he is. Walter White, Matty, as you used to call him, is in this spot as the Rumble Iron Man. And he's trusted to be the big bad that Cody goes back and forth with for 5 to 10 minutes at the end and put him over. Yeah. Like, Triple H must fucking love this man. Because he's doing it as well, looking like an Olympic swimmer. Like, I would prefer it. Give him £50, not even muscle, £50 more of fat. I want that Gunther. Like, I want him to be more that. Like, he did look, you know, he's up face to face with Brock. He looked a little bit too slender for my liking. I'd like him to put a few more pounds on. But it's just unbelievable that he is the one in that moment, Matt, with Cody. It's just crazy.
Oh, it's... You know me, Fenno. I mean, that's when I started my indie run, when I got getting on Walter, wasn't it? And, like,
you were live for Walter and Will Ospreay, mate. But Culture Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, what a match, though. I was. And I didn't, no one's seen this, as you say, Ben, but fucking hell, he's delivered, hasn't he, since he's been there. And
him and Brock, I think that's the main even. I think they're doing it. I think they're engaging the reaction to it, and I think that's it. It's going to happen, I think. You know, that wouldn't, in a million, we probably...
So Lashley and Brock at Chamber then?
I think so. Because he's done that enough times, haven't he?
Speaking of the Chamber, Mikey mentions there that the Elimination Chamber match will be for the US title with qualifying matches set for tonight's Raw. So, yeah. Pisses on my theory from earlier on, but, you know, thank God still keeps this still in date.
I was trying to talk you about too much Cody speculation, because Raw's in like 2 hours, so I'll come back and I'll edit if we say anything stupid. I want that. We'll agree to that. Because I'll be watching it. But I suppose, we alluded to it, the other big moment in the Rumble
Pool
match.
General.
Pool General, love that. The other big moment in the Rumble itself, Logan Paul coming back, who apparently, again, to date the podcast, is going to be returning to UFC in this, or not returning, debuting for UFC in his imminent future, unless he's trolling. It sounds like that.
He's going to get his fucking ass handed to him.
I mean,
be fixed that one, JP.
It's all
fixed. Be fixed that first fight. The fake stuff.
Not in UFC, mate. They have to go to like fucking USADA testing pools and stuff. Pride, on the other hand, Rising, anything goes, but he'd be a loon to do that. They've said it for such a long time. Sorry.
Well, yeah, to the point, like, I Logan Paul is just he's a wrestling promoter's dream. Like, he's over. He's got, like, you know, the most popular, what's the stupid sports drink? Prime.
Prime.
We were in the corner shop in town. The other day, a tenner they were going for. I was explaining it all.
Here. I've got two in this bedroom. Are you better? Have you? I've got two here. Oh, in the bedroom.
You lads been off to Wakey Wines, have you, love? You been off there?
Have you sipped them, Matt, or are you saving them to sell on eBay? Is that the plan? Pay for the stamp.
Oh, better, come on. That knocked me. The amount of sugar in that put me in a coma, mate. I think Steph got them for one of her mate's kids who wanted one and still here, and I'm tempted to sneak one out. She said, put it on fucking eBay. Like,
tastes like piss, apparently. I've heard.
Oh, but somehow they're selling that. Like, everything's away, isn't it? As we were talking about in the pre-show. And, like, he is one of the biggest stars in the world. You know, whether he'll do well or not in UFC, he's athletically gifted. He's, you know, he can fight to a level when it comes to the box. You know, he at least is holding his own and stuff. Like, he's a wrestling, you know, promoter's dream. And yeah, I was made up to see him back in the Rumble. And look, I know this Ricochet spot, and I know it wasn't for,
here we go,
wasn't for everyone. But look, like, I'll defend this. Like, if Logan Paul can't be a dumb jock, who can? You know what I mean? It's like, if he can't be a stupid fucking jock who's on the apron, who's looking at another fucking idiot in Ricochet, who we know on record is a fucking idiot, and they stare at each other, and I absolutely buy that they would both be like, you know what, yeah, I can springboard higher than you. Yeah, I'm going to win this springboard duel. I can absolutely organically imagine that moment happening. And you can come back to me and you can say, oh, it's stupid because, you know, they're both not trying to win the match. Like, again, it's stupid ego. They are. It's like. Again, I love. Maybe I'm the wrong person for this, but I love the. Like I said earlier, I love the Fast and Furious films. Vin Diesel will drive his car into another man out of pure pride and ego. Like, and that you can buy that because that's what that character would do. He would fly through the air and save somebody's hurtling body at the top of a motorway. I don't think this is that different. Like, it's not even like I don't think it's stupid. I know it's stupid. But, like, yep. I used to have this with one of my mates. Like, he used to, any film he'd watch, he'd be like, oh, that's stupid because I wouldn't do that. Oh, I'd never, what a stupid decision that character made. So unbelievable. It's like, do you not know people? People make bad decisions all the time. Everyone you know does things that are stupid. Like, people do stupid shit. And as far as two wrestlers who I can buy doing a stupid thing, it's these two. And, like, I thought the spot made perfect sense. If Ricochet doesn't jump, Logan Paul lands on his feet and calls Ricochet a shithouse for not joining him in the air in that daft moment. I thought it was brilliant. Perfect for the Rumble. As Mikey says, a dick swinging contest and a great visual. And that was it. That I think that was my critique of the Rumble match, was that there weren't maybe enough memorable big spots, but this is the memorable big spot that they're going to play in video package forever and ever. What can I say? I loved it. I thought it,
Benno, can I just say, Benno, that's one of the best rants I've heard in I don't know how long, mate. I fucking love that.
Take that, Jamesy. I'm only messing. Jamesy's allowed to hate it. Jamesy's got it
pass with me. It's bollocks, but so much about the Rumble is bollocks.
Wrestling's
like, why
bollocks.
Do they break up?
Stupid.
The whole thing.
And like, it can be really smart too, in part. It's like any job.
Lads in underpants presenting a fight.
Yeah.
If we're going to be.
And you can take that and you can do really good fucking indie, you know, fucking level filmmaking with incredible, like, low budget storytelling. You can get that. But you can also get a dumb jock action movie in the wrestling form, and that's what this is. You know, I like both. That's fine. I like it.
And that's what
story too.
And you mentioned about Logan Paul that, you know, he had been a face going into the match with kind of Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia, and managed to capture that. Dare I say it? Like, and here he came out and he just embraced the fact that this crowd booed him. Didn't give a fucking shit.
Yeah.
Didn't throw him off at all. Doesn't really have to change his character because, like you say, that's who he is and he does this kind of stuff. And it will, you know, it'll do more for Ricochet's, I don't know, will it do more for Ricochet's career? Do for more for Ricochet being a memorable character in WWE as much as anything that. But he was completely fucking daft. But then breaking up someone being thrown out of a battle royal who you don't really know, you don't really associate with, that's really fucking dumb. And they did that all the time. Mm. Like, why would you do it? You just go, it's my interest to have less people here. Bye-bye. I'll help you. I'll help you. Like, yeah. But they rarely ever do that kind of
to
stuff.
To me, that's worse. So, like, that's not even...
Yeah, that's much worse. Usable.
You probably shouldn't be doing that, you know, but, you know, they do it too much, you know, stuff like... It's like, you know, me and John are the back and forth with this, but by all means, I'm not having a go with John, because I think John was more on the side of not liking, you know, the Ricochet and Logan Paul spot. But like I said to him, you know, Rhea Ripley, you know, in the main event, how long did she spend on the apron? Like, you know what I mean? Like, she was open to be eliminated. People do dumb shit in these matches, and
yeah,
to me this felt more justifiable than any of them. I couldn't really understand the level of far outrage over.
It wouldn't really make for a good show if four people just lay under the bottom turnbuckle and went, off, holding on to the post. Like, that's not really good TV, even though that's what you would do in real life. Like, I saw Gideon Gray do it at the Riptide Rumble. He handcuffed himself. Like, and I just, and you were just like, oh yeah, good shout, and he just went no, and then occasionally he'd slide out underneath the bottom rope or something along those lines. It's just like, okay, that's good. Probably giving someone a bad booking idea now, but you need this kind of stuff from it. I mean, you know, they had him eliminate Seth Rollins as well.
That won't be a throwaway thing, will it? That'll be neat or something, surely. I couldn't believe that when I seen it. I thought he'd be lashed in with Cody, Chef. Generally did think he'd go down that route.
I thought he didn't wait for CM Punk to come out. I thought that was going to be the big payoff.
Oh, bet you hate Seth even more now, Benno.
I mean, did you see the fucking state of him when he made those comments?
What the fuck was he wearing?
That's
what
enough.
The fuck
and
was
that,
he wearing?
And that Applebee's advert is a see-through top. You know what I mean? I've been to Applebee's.
Oh, my God. She should be applying for a divorce on the back of that. I'd be like, why are you going out dressed up? Put some fucking clothes on, you embarrassment. Right, people know who we are. he was quite quiet, I thought, in there as well. And it's it does feel Seth Rollins as much as anything, because it didn't go to what I imagined the final two was going to be, which was him and Cody.
Yeah, same.
And that being the few, it felt like that was the way. And then you'd have him ready for a post Roman challenger, then, wouldn't you, at that point? And I wondered why he wasn't there, and I thought, well, if he's getting eliminated by Logan Paul, that feels like the kind of thing that they end up doing at Mania, because if they're not putting him in a main event, you can kind of open up the show with something like that. It'll get loads of press, loads of buzz, everything else. It'll be what he wants. He's done the talk show circuit before, you know. He's got Applebee's on side. Looks rank as well. Might say, not like Popeyes.
It was all right. It was all right when I went there, but maybe I ordered bad when I went. But no, I like that. And Logan Paul, Ricochet, like, you know, that was another thing. I think somebody said to me, Steph's a bigger Applebee's fan, by the way. She'll be into it, defended it in the chat. But you know, somebody said to me, oh, you're wasting that Logan Paul Ricochet spot. And I said, well, you're not, because before this spot, I don't think it ever even crossed my brain, the idea of a Logan Paul Ricochet match. Now, I'm probably kind of into it, but, you know, it's a sad thing to say, but I think you'd have to heat up Ricochet a hell of a lot to make him worthy of a match with Logan Paul, people. But yeah, any other big takeaways from the match? Anything we have in a cover from the men's rumble before we move on? Should we talk to women's rumble?
Isn't he? Obviously, we mentioned Brock. Yeah, if you want.
Throw that in.
We must, Ben.
I'm just building up to to JP's breakdown over the theme match. Right. Hey, the women's rumble gave us some spots, gave us some memorable comebacks, you know, like Chelsea Green coming out and doing a me and getting thrown out the other side. Nia Jax coming back, you know, that wrestler that everyone was clamoring to make a return. Oh wait.
What a letdown. She looks even worse. Quite incredible, isn't it?
She's got nothing to offer. Nothing at all. I don't want to... That's Triple H scraping the barrel.
I mean, I don't know if she's actually signed or it was a one-off or whatever it was, but I'll be honest, I didn't mind Nia Jax when she was there, because she just brings that, like, the hatred out of everybody, and you can tell, like, she's one of them wrestlers that if you just piss off, she'll just, like, not go to, you know what I mean? You can just tell, like, she's ready to explode at any time, and I like that about her. So I'd keep her around for a bit, but just weird for me in this, boys, was glad she got to shine and won this, and because she's been great ever since she's joined the Judgment Day, for me, been one of the better things on Raw. So I'm glad she's getting a shot, and I hope her and Bianca will be good, but I hope they go with Aiden Charlotte because they've had absolute fucking brilliant matches in the past. And I hope that she picks it. But whoever she picks, it'll be a good match. But there was a point, and I see it on Twitter, and this isn't nothing against obviously all the women, but there was literally a point midway through that match where, and literally someone said it on Twitter, where you looked in the ring and I couldn't tell who was who. I genuinely couldn't tell. Candice LeRae from like Dakota Kai, JP from, they just all looked the same. You know, when you casually just looked up, it was like, because I think even to a point,
and it was every 90 attack. Seconds, though, wasn't it?
Neon green. It was like watching the pitch black match. Everyone was in neon colours, weren't they?
But Benno, Dakota, Io Sky actually attacked Dakota Kai, didn't she? Because thinking it was like Tegan Nox or whoever it was. Even Corey Graves said, she had to cover up by saying it can get too many filled in the Royal Rumble. You can just attack a body. She literally attacked her own partner and she didn't mean to. It was that summed it up for me.
They did that. Do you know what? They did that across both the men's and the women's Rumble. They built up like loads of people in the ring, but they never had that monster eliminates load of people.
Big Show or Kane throwing people out. Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have that really. I mean, even with Omos, it was somewhat like muted. And with Bron, it never really happened. So like, but I mean, I thought the women's Rumble here was kind of a mess, really. Yeah.
The last spot was good with all three of them on the apron. I did enjoy that. With Asuka coming back was a big thing as well. We need her back.
It looked good. Rhea Ripley got the reaction. And ultimately, what was this Rumble about? It's about building her up. That's someone who Triple H has always thought is the next kind of cab down the rank after Bianca Belair. Of like, this is the next person we're going to be putting that women's top mix. I have to say, good shouts for, I thought Raquel Gonzalez looked like there was something there, definitely. And there was a good reaction, probably helped that I think she's from Texas. Roxanne Perez, who I remember seeing in Ring of Honor as Roxy. I didn't know she'd become Roxanne Perez because I just read out the name of NXT results rather than
you know it was her, JP, though?
Knew it was her. I found out, I was like, when I saw one of those other shows, I was like, oh, God, yeah, that's... I was like, oh, right, they put a title on her already. She's very, very young. But she's clearly got something about her. I mean, it says more that for this Rumble, they didn't have to resort to tons and tons of nostalgia for women's Rumble like they've done before.
Few NXT, JP, Zoe Stark. Few NXT,
Zoe Stark, Indy Hartwell. I would say for the long-term benefit of them, it's worth, you have to have them in a Rumble match, get them that kind of exposure. You didn't need Michelle McCool there, but they'd had her in the front row. So it just sort of fulfilled.
That was that gimmick one. It was the little it wasn't ready and stuff. Yeah.
That's really it. And so I thought, like, overall, when it came to the kind of, I thought I went 2.5 stars on it because I was just like bloody hell, this was just kind of messy. But again, they got to the right result. I thought, you know, they had a spot at the end that was kind of memorable. They put a few new faces into the mix. They didn't have to rely on a ton of nostalgia as well. And that's something that they've had to move away from. And it's probably difficult at this point in time, but it's the best thing long term. Is to do a kind of refresh and reinvigorate that roster. And it means using them and trusting them and trying to build them, which is probably then leads, you know, with all of the Sami Zayn, but it's because they're doing that, but they're actually using people who, fuck me, they've employed for the guts of a decade, like to get to that stage.
JP, aren't you happy Asuka's back though? Because I thought that got a big reaction, didn't it? Isn't that like the dark side Asuka? Is that one of her gimmicks she used in Japan? I've never seen, seen that one before. Like
kind of very much like Murder Clown. I'm trying to think like very much like from a Wado Tie or something like that from they're like the heel group in Stardom, as Benno would be able to tell you. But
she got a big reaction though, really big reaction.
It's just who's she taking on at Mania? Because I don't know if you want to take it on, like you want to beat in who's the woman, who's the SmackDown women's champion? That's Ronda, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on, no. JP. It's Lottie.
Is it Lottie? It's Lottie.
There's a lot of Lottie.
No, no. I feel like I haven't seen her for like a year wrestling. I don't know what's going on.
Going on in the chat there, building that match. I'm sure Matt's excited.
Good to see that.
Right.
Paul's problems are all making sense in the end. Only take 3 years, as Simon says to her. Or is it, LOL, Lottie wins again? Is that what, that's what Matt you
put. I do think they will go with Bianca Rhea, but personally, I would do Rhea and Charlotte, Lottie, and I would give Rhea the win this time. had a big ear, definitely, 100%.
She was the overwhelming favorite in the betting. Was Rhea, like, it just happened. Whereas the men's rumble was fun because you could plausibly, you know, it was obvious that Cody was winning, but there were a lot of other people you could kind of bet on for, like, you know, final four spots.
Well, I forgot to mention, Benno, I put money on Sami Zayn, didn't I? On like Thursday, so I was fucking gutted, wasted a fiver of me fucking money.
In the good old days, Paddy Power used Goth to refund clown. You if you bet on someone who didn't appear. So for me, I just bet on randos. Like, oh, back when it was impossible, Stone Cold Steve Austin or CM Punk, because they didn't appear. I was going to get my money back, but no, they don't do that anymore. Yeah. As I found out with Rey Mysterio. What did you say you won on, JP? Did you get any...
I'd say Cody to win. I took Matty's advice of a quid on Theory for Iron Man. Not Iron Man. Yeah, for Iron Man, because I thought he'd come in early. I kind of lost all hope in it. However, if I'd bet on the final four, I would have thought, oh, if he wasn't in that, he'd be in that. I think you had Logan Paul in the final four. So it's just a tenner on Cody, really, who won in the end. I'd forgotten about placing the other bets on. I just didn't feel confident enough in him. So I thought that. I just didn't know if that loon was back. That's all. And that's probably the problem with betting on all of this. Maybe I'll have a bet on Vengeance Day. I'm assuming he'll stay well clear of that.
It makes life easier when he's back for come Mania.
It gives me a reason to watch the fucking show, mate. That'll be the only reason as well.
If Vince is ever back, I'll just bet on the people Matty would pick, because then I know it's you and Vince are in
league, mate. Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns and Lottie win. Lol, that'll be the Matty method. Yeah. But yeah,
still the champions, boys.
I thought the women's match delivered more on like surprises and stuff, but it didn't really. Like you talked about with the with Mrs. Undertaker coming over the rail. By the way, I feel like our kids were clued in there. It would have been a better moment if they were a bit more shocked than they seemed. All the bad actors, one or the other. But yeah, it was fine. You know, really gutting it out and winning at the end was probably the right call. But outside of that, I don't think that one was particularly eventful either. I thought, unless either of you got much more takes on it.
Just one final thing. It's not a good look if she's injured by Beth Phoenix in the run-up to then win a rumble from number one while injured.
That gave me doubt. That really did, doing that angle.
We didn't mention that.
Edge in the outside and stuff, yeah. And it's weird doing that as well. If they were going to do that and she was going to win anyway, could they not have done it in the match? You know,
Or the Mania. Are they going to do a mixed tag or that at Elimination Chamber for the shot or something, maybe? Have Bethy Rhea there, build her up again, get a big win over there, and then...
All right, we've done a lot of fancy booking here. I draw the line at Edge and Beth Phoenix tag matches. We'll move.
Oh, Benno, no, it's Edge. You do know Edge and Balor, Hell in a Cell's pencil for Mania. That was meant to happen at the Rumble, you know. 4.25, Ben.
Even you wouldn't go that high. I know your thoughts on Balor. Fergal, Finley. Awful. Well, if we're moving on from there, from Asuka's Goth Clown and the rest of the Women's Rumble stuff. There's only one other place to go. And it's JP's own personal account. And we got the answer, JP, to the question, what is a pitch black match? And it turns out it's just Jeff Hardy's entrance, circa TNA, with a bit of not even black, it's a bit grey and there's some neon. It's Area 15, which is a place I went to when we were out in Vegas. It's every, you know, neon disco you've ever been to. It was just some lights.
It was a rave in the early 90s. I was half expecting some Prodigy to be fucking blaring as well. And it would have been more entertaining if Bray Wyatt and LA Knight had taken ecstasy in the middle of the ring in a pitch black, sat around by like some fucking bizarro set of Splatoon. Just fluorescent fucking hell is what I thought of this. I did think on the upside, and this might be the only upside, that kind of magic pen stuff on Bray, they seem to have put a lot of work into it. But do you know what? I went one star on this, and that is at the high end of Bray Wyatt matches I've discovered.
So you liked it then?
For me? Yeah, I gave it 1 out of 5. His previous efforts, I was looking 0.25, 0.25, 0.5. I might have gone 0.75 once.
I went with Hell in a Cell match. I don't know what that even means. Like, I might as well just gone one.
I don't know. He's awful. He's awful, and people need to tell him to shut up. I laughed. It was just because it just went to a fucking finish at the end of all of this. like Mountain Dew obviously paid for this. I would like to think there was an executive from Mountain Dew there going, what the fuck is this? I can't see it. It's meant to be about Mountain Dew. Like, there's a Mountain Dew thing on the map, but you're not really paying like kind of attention to that. What was that fluorescent confetti stuff that was all over the table? I was completely fucking confused. I thought, it's just like, I don't know, like they've stolen stuff out of the fucking, out of the Springfield nuclear power plant or something like that in a little fucking bowl and had it around on the desk.
The Hacienda match with guest referee Bez, I like that from
Sam. Yeah, it was. And it would have been more fun like that. And if they spent the first few minutes putting Vicks VapoRub on their back and then fucking losing it to some happy hardcore, it would have been better. It would the ecstasy would explain Uncle Doody's. What I could only consider was some sort of suicide dive as I'm going to lie down next to LA Knight. Here I go. And he just jumped off and landed next to him, clearly nowhere near him as well.
It was
which was...
Well, that's the thing. He had, it was dark.
In his defense,
and he had a mask on.
It was dark.
And he had a mask on. It's like, what was he supposed to do? Like, he had no chance.
I wish he'd jumped the wrong way, because then that would have at least been funny. I would have really laughed at that if he just decided to jump off a complete side bit, fucking goes horribly wrong, and they just cut away at the end of it. You're like, I don't know what happened there.
Brilliant.
Man.
Yeah, the chat's talking to, is it Bez that's Uncle Hardy, as this was a Hacienda match? Uncle Hardy revealed as Shane O'Mac platforms in the chat there.
I've heard that a few times, you know.
like Mikey sums up here, and I was about to launch into Bray Wyatt as a character. He's been around for 11 years now. I got fooled again. Like, I've got to hold my hands up. I still stand by the fact that it was a good business decision to bring him back, because despite all this,
there's enough fiendish
fans out there that love him and love all of this stuff and buy into all of this stuff. But like, they've brought him back and he hasn't. What has even happened? Where's the development?
Shit.
He came back with a bang. We got a great moment, you know, the great new song and, you know, the big reveal. And okay, you know what? He was the real life man was hard done by, because he was over, he was making the company money. It was bullshit that they fired him, like, just from a human point of view. It made no sense. So I was kind of rooting for him to come back and be like, okay, Big Bad Vince is gone as well. So, you know, his unabashed creative vision can be given its own space to breathe, and he can, you know, give us something that make us all, you know, remember those days when he was, you know, the early, you know, Wyatt family days that I did personally enjoy when he was doing Budget Whale and Mercy. But what's he done? He's come back and we've had backstage promos, confusing Uncle Howdy stuff, and then this shit. Like,
yeah.
I almost feel sorry for him, because this was like, if you are trying to start a fresh start with Bray Wyatt, or, you know, turn over a new leaf, or not be the letdown this character is constantly is, and not be the pure unadulterated wrestle crap that this character has been over the years, putting him in a Mountain Dew presents Pitch Black match, like, you're going nowhere, are you? Like, there's no, you know, oh, this is like, oh, all those great underground horror movie type things. It's not. It's a corporate chill of a match with, you know, no real hook to it, because what are you offering? The lights are down a bit and there's a bit of a luminous going on. And then to add to it, as always with Bray Wyatt, and then the bell rings and it's a complete shit show. Like, this was appalling. This was, it was wrestle crap is what it was, Matt. It was just, there's any, you know, people, you know, might listen to this who parachuted in and go, oh, that Matt is a WWE homer, the one who's on there. He loves everything WWE. I can tell what Matty doesn't enjoy the WWE do. Bray Wyatt, because was this?
I was like you, Ben, like, when he come back and that, as you say, you said it all perfect there. It's like, you know, what is going on? Like, no, I'm trying to, like, me and Crewe, I obviously hate it as well, Ben, but I'm like, I just text him in capitals all the time, Uncle Howdy, because it's like, what the fuck is going on, though? It's like, no, seriously. Like,
how can he reply to that? Like, what is your response when he gets sent out and he's at work? And he's like, okay. Other than for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, he just fucking hates it. But as you say, Ben, you're rooting for him. I thought he'd come back, you know, I'm not saying he's the greatest wrestler of all time, but, you know, just have proper matches, try and rebuild that thing, as you say. And, like, it's all the same shit all the time. It's going to go back to him and Alexa Bliss, isn't it? You're going to get The Fiend back at some point. You know, you're going to get all this shit going on. But as you say, though, Ben, the fans still like him, though. So you are caught in a thing where it's, he is still over, though, Ben. Maybe not as when he come back, but they do react to the song. They do react to him. But as you say, it's when the bell rings, it's silent. It's fucking dead. It's pin drop stuff. So you're proper in a conundrum. You are. It's mad. You are.
And it's like,
I don't even know if you can do a wrestling match.
No,
sorry.
He's never proven it. And when he was out to WWE, he never did that thing where I was like, you know what would be cool? Send him to Noah. Let him, he's a supposed, like you always say, JP, he's supposedly a fan of that style. Go on, go put your mouth money
really?
In your mouth. Do it. He's never shown it. And the other thing is, like, if this is, you know, the chat saying there, you know, Fiend the Files will tell you this is cinema and this is deep storytelling. What's the story? What's happened? Literally, it's like nothing has happened. And even now, coming out of the Rumble, literally the Uncle Hardy story has still not progressed. There was no big story point. There was no reveal. There was no nothing. It's just the same shit reshuffled and regurgitated. Like, we don't even need to talk about the Alexa match because that was its own level of shit. But that match was still two stars better than this, despite being its own level of shit. But that's buried in the Uncle Hardy stuff. I thought it was really weird that followed this rather than went before it. Why would you do a video from Uncle Hardy if he just basically died in the match before? Why am I trying to analyse it? It's
all just what I'm going to say.
He's just such what he is, isn't he?
No, but JP, I'll text Cribby that, right? But this morning, I'll literally be making the cup of tea before I go to work and I'll just shout to myself, Uncle Hardy, and Steph, like, what the fuck are you saying?
Even she calls Uncle Hardy like, and
no, but Benno, you're right. I'm honestly sitting there and I've give up. Like, I don't even know why I'm trying. I think, right, this is just, Uncle Hardy isn't real. That's what I'm getting. It's like the Hogan looking at the Warrior in the mirror. I think that's in Bray Wyatt's head, but we can all fucking see it, so it doesn't make sense. That's
I think
what I'm
thinking. I think that's the reveal, but...
Do you think so? Why? Why don't...
PS, our dad is IRS.
Yeah.
What?
That's the problem.
What a twist when they throw that one into the mix.
JP, right, can I ask you something?
Probably Mike Rotunda being in a wheelchair with some fucking mask stolen from Bo Selector in there.
JP,
I don't know.
So he's not as good as M. Night Shyamalan, who he thinks he is, yet. You're not having that one, though.
Trust me, there is a lot to criticise about M. Night Shyamalan. He hasn't done anything like this, not that I'm aware of. And I even watched that one where people turned old in a beach in a day, and that was kind of funny at points. This is pure shit. He is. When the bell goes, the fucking... he is worse than Great Khali in main events. He is. Tell me, the only time now at this point his character has been good is in a feud with The Shield, and he said fucking nothing. Said nothing. They stood in a ring, they stared at each other, and they went back, and then they had a fucking...
A decade ago.
Other than that, he's shit. As soon as he spoke and Vince went supernatural, here we go. Fucking years of this wank, because that's what it is. Fluorescent wank watching this stuff. Absolute bollocks of the highest order. But I don't know why we're surprised. He's shit. He's always been shit. There's no storyline. There's nothing fucking going on here. Every time I watch this, like, I'm in hell. Like, I have to watch this, but this is even worse. The only benefit is it was over relatively quickly. LA Knight, by the way, got nothing in this. Could have been anyone else who would have made zero difference. He's in there with someone who's seen as a main eventer on main event money, and he would have got nothing from this. I think Bob Holly got more out of a Brock Lesnar match than fucking LA Knight ever did out of this.
Benno, can I just say, I don't thank you much, but thank you for not putting me in that crowd of people who like this and that. I just love anything WWE puts on. Thank you for that.
This is it. You surprised me, big world class fan, you know? You're late 2000s.
UWF, mate.
Bowler.
Yeah.
Thank you. And again, if this podcast has proven anything, I'm willing for, you know, I like when wrestling's smart and nuanced. I also can like dumb wrestling. This is beyond that. It's someone trying to be smart and nuanced and it being even dumber than the dumbest Logan Paul Ricochet spot or the dumbest whatever else you want to do in wrestling. Awful, awful shit. Yeah, I think we've buried it under the sun. Rev JP, that's what we'll call you from now on.
Yeah, it makes the Rosemary stuff from TNA look, from Impact, look like fucking Barbarian, which I know me and Matty watching is a really cracking horror show.
How good is it, JP? Well, fucking
very, very good show. That use of a Donovan song, Ricky Tikki Taka, is fucking brilliant as well, but I won't go into that.
Well, there we go. We've got a title as well, Fluorescent Wank. We're sorted.
Same with the recap. Apple might have something to say about it. The others.
Definitely. Any other notes on the Rumble itself? Despite that, hey, I went on Letterboxd. You can rate the Garrett's got competition out of the Grapple app. You can rate the entire show on Letterboxd. I gave it 3.5 stars. Because I did enjoy the ending angle was very good. You know, I love Cody, so I like seeing Cody get the big win, but I did genuinely enjoy the stuff with Gunther, even if the rest of the match wasn't for me. Even the bad stuff, this at least felt notable. You know what I mean? I came up with like, oh, I've got lots to say about this. I want to rip this
when
apart.
It's that bad, then no, it's got to be on it. Yeah, it's got to be that bad on it. It's
almost a positive
boring,
that,
just have it being so shit.
Yeah, but I'm not still going to call it like a 5-star preview because it was on it, you know, and it was. But I didn't feel like a waste of my time. And I do think that is true of this Triple H era. Like maybe, you know, this isn't the right attitude. Then we pick apart AEW and take it very seriously, JP, because we do love it, and it can be the best wrestling in the world everywhere. Well, we're so lucky that exists. We get that every Wednesday, and when it's bad, we'll point it out and it's bad. With WWE, I almost have to keep it at arm's length and like acknowledge, you know, 3-hour Raws are bad by their nature. You know, there's no juice. There's no juice we have to squeeze in spending an hour going on why 3-hour Raws are bad or why Kevin Dunn's production is bad. But like this WWE, where it's like, okay, I feel like I don't have to watch Raw. Don't bother with SmackDown. I can parachute on the pay-per-views and we can have a good chat like this. That's about the level I want my WWE at. Am I crazy? Like, that's where they should be, I think, in my world. I haven't got time for them to be better than this.
Can they cut the adverts, though? There are so many pointless adverts.
It's on Peacock, isn't it? So like so while they're giving Peacock viewers get proper American ads, we get like, oh, here's the, you know, is a video package for like
Braun Strowman.
Seen wrestle. Yeah, like Braun Strowman. Yeah.
But boys, there's something we haven't mentioned. And to be honest with you, I didn't watch this, but obviously I was looking at the comments and it got fucking nailed. That fucking Hardy performance. I mean, was it that bad?
Did anyone fast forwarded through it?
I left the room.
I've never heard of him. I've never heard of him in my life.
I really wish it. I wish it was Peroxy Y, Jen. I really did. That's the only Hardy who should have been playing at this.
He's Country Bad Bunny, isn't he?
What did
the
you do, Ben?
Biggest country / rock star in the world or whatever the fuck. Genre, supposed
is that
to
what
be.
He is?
He just looks like
never
Kid
heard
Rock
of him.
He looks like
the song
Kid Rock.
Wasn't that. The
Kid
song,
Rock had a midlife crisis.
The song wasn't that bad. If that's him, that was the theme of the show. Obviously, that wasn't that bad. But I heard like people were nailing the performance. Maybe it's because there's music going on when you watch wrestling. But I don't know. Like
3 hours, 20 minutes in, let's have a concert.
This is the thing. I was saying this. Like even if it was like something, say the Wu-Tang Clan came out, Matt. Like I'd have a good time. But I don't think I would because I just feel bad for everyone else having to sit through it because nobody watches a wrestling show for a music. You know what I mean?
It's no, but it's right. It's different when there's a band doing the theme song live because that obviously makes sense. It's just literally having a mini concert. It's fucking why?
Nobody wants it.
Although, after that fucking pitch black match, if the Wu-Tang Clan, suddenly the lights went on and the Wu-Tang had just played and we're just going to move straight past, here's the Wu-Tang Clan. You'd be like, you'd be all right, but it'd be like a hell of a palate cleanser.
Ben's out to call Hardy as ODB. Yeah, we'll. but yeah, it's just awful.
Ranking the Hardys: Tom, then Matt, then Jeff, then him, then this.
He was getting. That's what the type of abuse he was getting. Tom was like, "Did he slip or did he fucking say?"
He was
something?
Just bad. He was the just getting. I heard, but I did. We took it as a little bit of a break, so we walked away. awful. I'm glad.
Did you have your dominoes, Ben? Was it for the Rumble? Did you? Have
oh,
it?
This is the important thing, wasn't it? What the scram was? We went Pizza Hut because we could pick it up. And I prefer.
Oh, better, Benno. No,
I prefer
that's
the deep, the deep pan you can get from Pizza Hut as opposed to Domino's. Is like I do like Domino's, But I think I've just had it too much over the years. You know what I mean? It's like it's been the same for so long, and I've had so many of them that there's no real novelty to it. Not that there is massively for Pizza Hut either, but it's I don't know. It's more of a rarity for me. Top five pizza places, Matty? Is that where we're going?
Oh, I mean, we can have an entire podcast on that, but pizza was my favourite. But what snack? Did you get any more snacks? Or did you go next door to get your drinks and your
crisps? We were at Steph's. We were in town. So we dared to go into the centre of town until that Cali convenience by Central Station. This is a lot of local Liverpool knowledge. Just imagine a busy town centre on a Saturday night at midnight and going into one of those like dodgy corner shops that has, and it literally did have bottles of Prime going for $9.99. It's one of those shops.
You not get a video with the bloke, no? No. Been all over that wakey wine stuff over the last month or so.
But no, I got
£200 a can for that though. What?
But I was saying though, they can do that, can't they? And then eventually when the price goes down, they can just sell it for what it's worth, because it's like any other bottle of shit, isn't it?
If I'd known, I would have gone fucking buck wild last time I was at the fucking Emirates then in that case. I'd have buying loads. You can't move for that shit. They're all over the place, and tourists.
Would it shock you to know Matt, I got some American snacks?
No. What did you get, Ben? Nettles, isn't it? Your go-to.
No, there's like those crisps. I can't remember the name of them. They're like a triangle, like a circle, and they're very spicy. They're like...
Takis, is it?
Takis. Takis was the name.
Yeah, yeah.
Takis, yeah. Yeah. Blue ones.
Did you get that from that shop? From that?
Oh, yeah. £4.
I'm assuming it's got one of them. Loads of different types of flavours of Fanta as well.
I was just about to say that. Did you get one of them? The cherry Dr. Peppers and all that?
I was tempted, but no, I had a few beers in, so I didn't. And we got a big bottle of Pepsi Max with the Pizza Hut as well. So, you know, we're going very deep into the sorted, Ben. Well, what did you say? Anything good while you're watching the pay-per-view? Breakfast? Toast? Porridge in the morning? Is that it? What's going on?
Pano chocolate from Aldi.
I was in bed, mate, so I was just nothing for me, lad.
Sad to hear. Well, that's it then, yeah. So, Rumble, done. Local convenience stores reviewed.
One really quick. Alexa Bliss is also one of the worst wrestlers in the world.
Yes.
She just pretends at playing a wrestling, but she is fucking dreadful. Sorry, we can move on past it. Had to get that in.
It's all good. Well, something quickly we said we'd do, just because we didn't on the year-end awards. It's obviously, you know, it's January now, so we don't want to leave it too late. But we never actually got around to doing our match of the year and talking what our match of the year was for 2022. Our friends over at Voices of Wrestling have just put out their list out there. I did a ballot and then didn't get it submitted in time. So I had my top 10 sitting here spare and thought, oh, what can I do with it? I know, we'll mention it on the podcast. But we did say we'd catch up with it in January and maybe just to, I don't know, close that loop and talk our matches of the year. But yeah, I thought it would be a fun thing to do. Gareth's given us, he's obviously not here, but he's given us the list of the top five matches as far as where Grapple is. So we can throw that in there as well. But yeah, thought it'd be a fun thing to do. I mean, I think we'll pick it up next year, won't we, JP? We missed that this year. It's probably too late to do the full big fat match of the year podcast. But yeah, did you have fun sitting down putting your list together with the assistance of the ever helpful Grapple app?
I did, and I thought to myself, you know, and it was one of the things where I was like, you know, trying to look through them, and then I was thinking, it's actually the test is how many of these matches do I remember? That's really what it is for these. So I mean, it felt like for me, in terms of what I've got on here, there's like only one match from New Japan in there as like one of the very few that I kind of remembered as well. But I've gone with should I go through my list, my top five?
Yeah, just go through them quickly. Read them through, and we might
mini 5-1 this, Ben.
So yeah,
mini 5-1.
Number five, yeah. Kazuchika Okada versus Will Ospreay. The G1 final. I thought that was a fucking great match. For that, I've gone with the match from Final Battle as my number four, which is the dog collar match, isn't it? I forgot. Yeah, it's the dog collar match. I've gone with a number four from the FTR Briscoes for that. Yeah, yeah. Don't worry, we'll come back to them in a minute. Number three, Will Ospreay versus Michael Oku. I thought it was just a fucking tremendous match in there as well. Number two, Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson, right at the very start of the year. I thought that was like a phenomenal match for that. That was like that was the second match they had. And at number one, I've gone for the match from Supercard of Honor for the Briscoes versus FTR. I think it was more of a novelty. That was the first time that they had match, and I just kind of like preferred that because there was so much more of a kind of a spectacle as a big sort of first time kind of real dream match kind of feeling about it as well. So I felt good because even though like I know there's a lot of love, a lot of praise for the dog collar match out there, I had two matches in there of that feud, which tells you about that, which then, you know, it's, I would think, you know, the fact that will be one of the, you know, and it was even referenced as you'll talk about in a bit by Mark Briscoe when they were doing the kind of memorial service for Jay, that they were mentioning the dog collar matches and how important that was to them. And, you know, and just that trilogy in general as being able dominated to kind of have that out there in the world.
Like yeah, looking through
as
like
he should.
The voices.
And it's on merit.
Yeah, you know, all three of the matches are in their top 10. And yeah. I can, you know, spoil at least in the top five of Grapple, we're going to have two of those. But yeah, it's just, it's the feud that's dominated the year, and it is nice to see. My list, I mean, I'm slightly similar to you, I think, in a lot of ways, but when I get to number one, I think there's definitely a discussion to be had there. I went for five, I went Anarchy in the Arena, which I was there. It's funny.
You were there live?
I was there live for that one. And I think, you know, we were having a great time following the action happening in all parts of the arena. You know, I'm literally following it round, you know, as they all made their entrance. We were out on the landing there following the LAX lads around and following like some of the brawling going on. And just being able to stand there live in the building and see this all taking place in different parts of the arena was fucking unbelievable. And I never thought it would actually translate to TV, but it's been heartwarming to see that all over people.
And that
lists.
Just missed my list. That was like six or seven for mine. Really good.
It's made really good. Like, you know, I think the voices list, I'm sure it was five or six. So that shocked me, but like made me happy that it wasn't just a live bias type of thing. So yeah, that's my five. Four is JP's number one, the ROH Supercard FTR Briscoes match. Three, like JP, I've gone Osprey Oku. Again, I've kind of, for me, that's my favourite Osprey, and it is my favourite Osprey match of last year. I know there's a lot of talk of the two Okada matches, the Zack Sabre match I loved as well, but just didn't stick in the mind and the memory as much as the Oku match one did. Again, you know, bit of bias there. It happened again, happening at Rev Pro and that side of it. But you know, the Oku story they told in that match was probably the best layered storytelling of Osprey's year. If anything, it was quite reminiscent of a recent Osprey match as well. I think he used a lot of elements he used from the Rev Pro match in that. Number two, Hangman Page, Bryan Danielson, like. I almost had to like double check on Grapple. That was 2022, right? Because it feels like it was like the Wrestle Kingdom matches that long ago. It almost shouldn't count in 2022 list. But that was incredible, the peak of the year for Brian in Ringo's, and was right up there, you know, around that period when we had another one of these matches and we had the Brian Kenny match, you know, tail end of the year before. It was a real hot period for in-ring in AEW. And number one, I've gone the reverse of JP. I've gone FTR Briscoes, but I've gone the Dog Collar final battle match. And it definitely grinded my gears a little bit, seeing a lot of ballots that just said dog collar match is number one. I was like, well, which dog collar match? Because, I mean, spoiler, we'll go into honorable mentions on there in the post show for patrons, but I have Punk and MJF as my number six, the other dog collar match, but maybe I'm the high man on that one. But no, this was, for me, the peak of their feud. I'm not going to argue too hard with JP going with the supercard match instead. I can see that. I'll probably argue more with someone who went with the second match, which I definitely didn't rate as high as these two. But yeah, that dog collar match, as far as visuals go, I think also there is the bias of, you know, everything that's happened since it as well. But it was the ultimate Briscoe's performance, the ultimate FTR performance, and a work of art. You know, I'll go into the Grapple ratings in a minute, but I gave that one 5 stars. So yeah, and I know when we did the podcast, we were talking up at that level too. So yeah, I think it deserves all the plaudits it's getting, and it's nice that, you know, it's featuring on a lot of ballots. But How about you, Matty? How's your list there?
JP, ready for this one, is he?
How many actual Empress goals have you got?
Edge versus Finn Balor. Judgment Day versus Edge and such and such.
JP, that just missed out. Edge and Balor is in my top 10. It was in my top 10. It was the I Quit one. I'm fucking well laid out. But anyway, number five, I've gone with Cody versus Seth, Hell in a Cell at number five, with obviously Cody's torn pec, which is the reason why that match was so good. Number four, you will laugh at this one, is the six-man tag, because I had to go back and look at my ratings with these on the Grapple app, Ben, is the Bloodline versus Randy Orton, Riddle, and Drew McIntyre from WrestleMania Backlash, which was a WWE PWG special, JP. They all got the shit in.
Good, JP remembers where he was when that one took place.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah,
Number three was Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns, which, you know, we spoke volumes about that match in the time.
I really did.
Yeah, considering it's, you know, it's what his third match ever, and Roman was a master in that. The crowd were into it. Number two is the dog collar match with the Briscoes and FTR. What Benno said there, you know.
Oh, cool.
Number one, Benno, is the same as JP, the Supercard of Honor match, because I haven't got into a match non-WWE like that in I don't know how long, because that was just so fuck. I remember texting in our group, Benno, me and Crewy texting all the way. It was just like, it was so good. As JP said, the spectacle of it, the fucking, what is it, the slingshot under the little table with what busted them open, just little spots like that, and the fans were going bananas, and I just really thought that was a masterpiece, that first one, Ben, for me. Fucking so good.
It's good to hear. It's heartwarming to hear, like, that it's sad that the circumstances we're in, you know, with Jay Briscoe and everything, but, like, yeah, the fact that those matches are featuring so heavily, like, I get it. It's a toss-up. Like, looking at the Grapple match of the year, so as far as the app goes, and the top five there, so number five would be Okada Ospreay from Wrestle Kingdom. Number four is Hangman Bryan Danielson. Number three is FTR Briscoes from Final Battle. I tried to give it five stars. I gave it five stars on the app today because I'd forgotten. So I tried to pip it over the number two, which is also Briscoe's FTR, which is the Supercard of Honor match. And if Gareth was here, he'd be throwing out there the fact that there's a 0.03 difference in the two. It's a 4.75 bloody average hell for the Final Battle match, and a 4.77, so it's a 0.2 difference, a 4.77 for the Supercard of Honor match. So I tried to close that gap, but don't think the mats were there. I think I needed maybe 10 of my mates to log in and give it five stars to switch those round, but whatever, I think that's fair enough. Number one is the Ospreay Okada G1 match, so that's in there in first place with a 4.8 average. But yeah, interesting, none of was considered either the Ospreay Okada matches or New Japan in general.
Hey Ben, do you know why I can't consider Ospreay via Okada?
You haven't seen it?
Because I haven't fucking seen it yet.
Some people won't like that, mate. but you have seen everything Randy Orton did this year, so you know that's what's important.
That's it. There you go. Balances out, Ben. Balances out.
I don't know. I think next year, you know, I think probably a spoiler here, you know, Omega and Ospreay from Wrestle Kingdom this year. What are they giving it, five stars? Like, the chances something's gonna outdo that this year. I think it will be
Sammy Roman, mate, in Montreal.
This is it. JP.
There you go. That could pull through. But yeah, I think it's a relatively, I think the split ballot there, and yeah, some interesting little choices there. But yeah, it's been, again, I think the main story of the year it's FTR Briscoes, isn't it? It's how much ROH and AEW, ROH only having the couple of shows featuring so heavily on everyone's ballots, but a lot of AEW, I saw in there a lot of people's ballots on the Voices side as well. So yeah, I think there's going to be, that would be the story of it if we'd done the full podcast, JP, but I reckon probably get a bit more variety, I think, this time next year.
I think we will get a bit more variety. You'd imagine there'll be more memorable stuff from New Japan as well. And obviously there's a different change in how they're doing their whole business model now in the US, which is going to be, I think that's going to mean we're going to end up seeing, like, you're hoping there's going to be a lot more kind of like serious singles matches that have some kind of meaning to them as well. So yeah, I think it's an interesting list. I mean, it's one of the ones where I just don't think we could have fairly done like another 6-hour show covering all.
Not once you start getting to February and March, I think we've done that. But we'll bring it back in another form next year, I think.
And the story of the year, given obviously the recent death of Jay Briscoe, it is the thing where you think actually this is someone who, from his in-ring, like this is probably the finest feud he'll ever be kind of like associated with, and it's that idea of like that kind of legacy that series is going to end up having, which is going to end up increasing over time.
Did you hear Mark talk about it? I mean, it's good. Yeah. Good a segue as any to the unfortunate, you know, it was Jay's funeral this weekend. They live streamed it on Sunday, and you know, I know that sounds off, it's a funeral, but it was more than that, it was like a celebration, wasn't it? And Mark Briscoe's like, I get it if people haven't got the stomach to watch it, but like it was past being a eulogy. It was like it was a celebration of what, you know, Jay the man and who he was, but also the career. And like Mark did make reference to that, to the matches with FTR, and saying, you know, that was like, he described Jay as like going out like Jimi Hendrix, didn't he? Like going out at like the peak. Which is a crazy, you know, it's an analogy, but it's not crazy, to be honest. Like that's, you know, they went out at a time where like, yeah, you know, people were finally on a more mainstream level, even if it's not not quite AEW proper, got to see, you know, how good they are in those FTR matches. But yeah, that was a big takeaway from it for me. Like, but like more than anything, it's like, as you know, we talked Dynamite on the weekend show last week, which is free for all. You can get on the main feed for a bit more of our detailed Dynamite thoughts. But it also mirrors what we were saying about Dynamite, like the strength of Mark Briscoe to, you know, be able to go out there on Dynamite and have that killer match, you know, only days removed, and hold it together in a way that even Jay Lethal was struggling with on Dynamite, and just show that, just, you know, come out, be the character. And yes, there was the emotional stuff after the match, but it was just, it was so nice. You know, Chris points out in the chat, there was a lovely bit on BT this week that showed that, you know, people, you know, hugging Mark after the match and stuff, and that emotional catharsis of it. But like, the strength Mark Briscoe has shown to, like, the fact that he's doing this speech and he's laughing and joking, he's telling funny stories about, you know, how Jay came up with, you know, he's telling funny stories about how him and Jay used to come up with these characters wrestling, and when they were kids, and how they'd come out to, you know, Sexy Boy by Shawn Michaels. He's talking about, you know, their NWA Wild Side days. Like, he was holding court and just like, yeah, like, it's like, you saw a few wrestlers say that, like, they're all, at Dynamite, we're all very upset, and then in comes Mark Briscoe, and like, you know, obviously he's affected by it all, but he's upbeat and he's showing a strength that like you can't help but admire, JP.
Yeah, you can't, and I mean, it has to be made. We're not religious people, but like they were both very religious, and it's their faith, and it is something to be said for it. And there's the kind of communal aspect to it as well, and you really got a presence of that, because it was like it felt like a big hall. Rather than anything else. And it was, and there's a lot of people who ended up standing up at one point saying, these are people who traveled in, because I was watching it, and it was like Caprice Coleman who was there talking beforehand as well. It was really lovely. It was really like kind of reaffirming as well. And it's just the strength that he has to do this and realize, and it's like, you know, and really viewing it as like a celebration of his brother's life. As much as anything, and being properly kind of celebrated. And I think after like that first week and the kind of ill feeling that you kind of got from the fact that they weren't able to have this, we got obviously the Mark Briscoe match on Dynamite as well. You then had this service as well there as well, like kind of celebrating him, and you think that's, you know, and obviously the Ring of Honor show. I think did it drop on the Saturday?
Yeah, that came out over the weekend as well. It's been a while, kind of. No, like that came out after Dynamite. No, that was Wednesday. It was weird. They dropped it at like 1 a.m. randomly Eastern time. They threw that up as well. But that as well, it does feel like this week has given, as much as the story still massively tragic, and you know, everyone's you know, heart and minds are with, you know, with Jay's kids and stuff. Like, I think it's the strength of Mark and just the closure, I think, being able to give Mark that moment on, like, you know, they literally, like, the I think it was the Reverend at the funeral who literally says something like, "Did we all see Mark on TBS on Wednesday?" Like, it's like, I think he says Thursday, but it's like, you know, it's that clearly meant something to that local community. It meant something to that family to for Mark to get that moment. And it does feel like, yeah, this week's been about closure. Like, the I can't say wholeheartedly I'd recommend people sit and watch the ROH special that they've put up. Like, I think it was put together with the absolute best of intentions because they didn't think they were going to get to honor Jay on TV. Thank God they did. You know, this week's Dynamite, as well as the Mark match, which was, again, you know, great and memorable, as we talked about on the weekend show, getting to throw that, you know, that Jay tribute video on TBS, you know, and for him to, you know, at least in, you know, in death, you know, have that moment and have that recognition on AEW TV was great. But, you know, Tony Khan, who I can't say nothing but good things this week, you know, as a leader in personal crisis, when, and this has happened unfortunately before in AEW, like, top notch. He stood up for the Briscoe brothers when he didn't have to, with a very important TV partner, and won that battle. They made this ROH show thinking they'd lost that battle, so it's a little bit after the fact, it's a bit like, I don't know, the heart was in the right place. And you get, like, it's worth watching for the sit-down interviews, because there's, you know, Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels, and even some people, you know, you might not expect, like Austin Gunn, who've got, like, you know, stories, you know, what the Briscoes years ago, Prince Nana, Stokely Hathaway, all kinds. Like, it is, like, genuinely emotionally gutting to hear, like, you know, the people who knew Jay Breast, you know, tell stories about him as a man and stuff. It's 100% worth seeing for that. There's some good classic Briscoe stuff in there. You know, there's a match with Daniels I probably wouldn't have up there on a Jay Briscoe mixtape, but then there's the Kings of Wrestling match, which I talked about on last week's podcast, was mixed in there as well, with some other fun historic stuff with them. The modern matches I could have done without. Like, it's a, you know, dare I say it, I know Simon was giving us grief before about going long tonight. I still don't think we're going to go that long, but, you know, as someone who's done many a 3-hour podcast, who am I to criticize a 3-hour wrestling show? But they kind of overstuffed it with modern matches, you know, to the point where it was a bit like, I mean, do I really need to see a pure title match with the rules explained to be on screen on a memorial show? Can we just, you know, there were a lot of matches there with people, you know, who were there because they knew Jay and they wanted to represent him and stuff. But, you know, I might have made some harder edit decisions on that, but, you know, the heart was in the right place. It existed, you know, existed for good reason, and I'm glad it's out there. And it makes up a part of, like, this, you know, trilogy of things that have kind of happened this week between Mark appearing on Dynamite, the closure of, like, the public ceremony yesterday, and this tribute show going out. Did you see any of the tribute show in the end, JP?
Saw a little bit of it, and like I say, I saw the kind of interviews that stopped, particularly the Samoa Joe one, where he was, like, completely breaking down during it as well. But the matches felt like a very weird fit. The ones I saw, like, why is Marina Shafir on there? You know what I mean? But well, then it's rather churlish.
I mean, you know, she's there on behalf of Roderick Strong. Like, that's...
Yes.
Like,
that one. That, yeah.
Totally, like, that was...
I'm not going to...
I'm glad that happened.
Yeah. There's no issue necessarily, like, kind of with that per se, but it's probably just like you said before, you'd make those kind of, perhaps those harder edits on there, but obviously it's coming all from the right place.
And it's hard to say, really, to say that now, isn't it? You know, they made the right call in doing the show with the information they had.
Yeah. And what, like, you know, considering they were really backed into a corner for it as well, for no good reason. I just would personally like to see, the thing I really got a taste for is, like, they're not the kind of company who would make things, and how much of a market is there for, like, DVDs and Blu-rays, but you'd love to see some, like, big proper Briscoe Brothers, like, collection, Jay Briscoe collection, going through, like, all of his career. Like, I think that kind of would be fantastic. I think it's the thing where you can go, okay, and we're going to donate however much of the proceeds to the family as well, like, if not all of it, for it as well, just like a kind of a release like that. I think that would be, like, kind of like a really nice touch, because it would be, I just think, of, you know, a kind of fitting companion piece, because you've really got a taste for it. When, like, say, the sit-down interviews, going on to the classic matches, they're things that are a lot more, like, they were the things I kind of took away from the show. The other things, I know why they're happening, and not just, like, there for completely nonsensical reasons, but it's more, you know, you think if there's things you want to see from it, and it's on YouTube, so they've time stamped it.
Yeah.
You can go to those, the sit down interviews and the other bits on there as well. But it's, I just haven't seen all of it, but I thought to myself, like, it was like the heart's in the right place, isn't it, as well? Like, and it, given the time and the resources they had to do it with it, would anybody else have been able to do better?
This doesn't happen under any. I've said that a few times, but I'll say it one more time. Like, this doesn't happen if Vince McMahon buys ROH. It's a tape library that maybe went on the network. Like, I don't think there's another wrestling promoter who'd go out the way like Tony Khan did to give Mark Briscoe that main event on Dynamite, to force it through, to do all of this tribute to somebody who, for all intents and purposes, wasn't, you know, for the reasons, an AEW guy. Like, you know, I think Tony Khan has really stepped up here and had, like, done a lot of good, you know, this last week. And you could tell from the service yesterday, you know, Papa Briscoe, you know, referencing Tony Khan. That's a man who people need to see more of. When we eventually do that Briscoe Brothers Big Step, I'll be making sure to include some Papa Briscoe promos. What a man that guy is. What a family they are. You know, I've drawn a lot from them last week, and the strength they've shown has been great. But the strength Tony Khan's shown as a leader does deserve some credit as well. Did you see any of this, Matt? Did you see the tribute show or the Mark and Jay match from Dynamite last week?
No, I didn't, Ben. I seen Mark had the, you know, the service for Jay then, and that was, like you have said, just the courage to speak like that and to be happy and to celebrate. And as your JP referenced, it is the belief, boys. It's, you're big into your faith there. It speaks volumes, doesn't it? And just to him to do that match as well, Benno, how did he do that? Just the strength he showed is
Jay
Lethal unbelievable.
Was
yeah,
Jay Lethal
unbelievable.
Was really struggling there, and it was almost it felt like Mark was guiding it at the start. Like, it's unbelievable,
consoling him.
Just crazy. It's crazy, and credit to, you know, he's not a man I often give credit to, Jay Lethal, but, you know, he's, you know, I say it as a slight, don't I, Matt, pro's pro, but Jay Lethal is a pro. He held together that Ric Flair match this year, you know, and as much as you know, I'm sure Mark helped him, I'm sure, you know, in the long run he helped Mark as well. Caprice Coleman as well, he was you know, great at the service yesterday as well. He's been a massive part of this. Imini and Rick Abani did a really classy job.
I seen Caprice on his YouTube with Mark, and it's like a 2-minute little video where Mark's just speaking into Caprice's phone, and like, it's just the strength he's showing again on that. It's remarkable. It is. Really is.
I'd love to see this continue. You know, Mark, obviously, as he said yesterday, wants to, you know, keep Jay's name alive and wants to, you know, carry on, because that's what Jay would have wanted. Like, yeah, there's something to be done there, you know, whether it's Supercard of Honor coming up, or, you know, with the ROH property going forward. I'd love to see more Mark on Dynamite. You know, that's another thing I'd like to see as well. But yeah, I think, you know, in a wrestling world with a lot of bad, I think a lot of good was shown over this last week. I mean, anything else you want to say? I mean, again, we covered Dynamite for the most part on the free weekend show last week, JP. Anything more on that, or maybe the weekend in AEW as we go towards this week's big Dynamite?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the Dynamite episode itself, I don't think necessarily from an in-ring perspective, the one match you should definitely go every way and watch, you said already, is Mark Briscoe versus Jay Lethal. That's really where to go. I mean, it kind of, like, there was stuff on it where I think it wasn't, you know, the Darby Allin match was good. I thought it was, you know, Danielson Cage. But then we talked about this on the weekend show. The crowd was weird. When it got quiet, it got very, very quiet. But it felt like this was one of the ones where we're on the road to a pay-per-view. So it feels like this is one of the weeks that we're kind of getting through before we're getting into the kind of real heated build up of where we're going next. But is it not next week? Is it Hangman versus Moxley? It feels like a much bigger
week. I've seen this card for this week.
It's a big card this
week. Isn't Takeshi going to get his win, Benno, over Cage? Is that his first win, do you think?
I think he's got to.
I think so. Yeah, he's got
it. Matches, hasn't he?
Yeah.
it's a bit of an issue, isn't it? That he's just not really winning anything. I think this is going to be the start. And the fact that, like, MJF's taking an interest in him as a story is, you know, a sign that they're going to be doing more with him. But yeah, this show coming up, it's the Ohio show. It's Darby Allin versus Joe, a topless, sweaty Samoa Joe, built that well on on Dynamite. What else?
Is he still going, Benno?
Who, Joe? Nah, he's been brilliant, mate. He's been fantastic.
Joe, yeah. Fucking hell.
He's been so good. Oh, like, I regret...
You can say that in any year.
I regret you... No. I regret you letting us bury him on the year-end show. He has been... Like, his promos have been amazing. These Derby matches are amazing, and the third one's going to be amazing as well this week. So, no, you're not having a Joe this week.
Has he, JP? Has he, JP? That's better. I'm going to obviously blind it here.
Anything involving Darby Allin has generally been good. It's the other bits that you've been wanting to avoid.
Thank you, John Paul.
You're out on a limb here. Like, honestly, what? It's not me. Like, we were willing to... I was willing to have a go at Joe because he came back and he was a bit out of shape and, you know, we were making all those jokes about him on the year-end show, and it's almost like from the moment we recorded that, he's just been brilliant every week on TV, promo-wise, character-wise. And like I say, he had that second Derby match and now this third one's coming. No place for Joe Slander for here anymore or elsewhere. You'd get pushed back on that, I think, at the minute. But yeah, that's on the show. Hangman Box. Moxley, as you say, is on the show. Jade Cargill, Red Velvet, for the DBS titles on the show. Takeshita, Brian Cage, the Acclaimed are on the show. And bigger than that, to throw in there, the other big news story coming out of Dynamite this week, Brian Danielson and Timothy Thatcher is on this week's show. Tim Thatcher being MJF's hired gun. Who thought we'd ever see the day?
Didn't see that coming at all. We are going to have, like mentioned this, regurgitating something said from last week. We're going to know whether or not is he ratings death or not once and for all. Mm-hmm. Like it was always said about him in NXT that was the case. We're going to see if this is the case here on TBS. I mean, this is feeling very similar to the kind of Jericho challenge that they did with MJF
just a
before.
Bit, JP.
Yeah, just a bit. Except we're just better wrestlers. Mm. And yeah, just with good matches. That's really what they've done, is they've just gone, right, we'll bring in any amount of random people. So I don't know who they'll, after this, who are they going to bring in? Katsuhiko Nakajima. But that would probably die a death as they're running in, I don't know, fucking Michigan or something.
Is it genuinely really going to be a 60-minute Ironman match? Really?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying at the end of a long pay-per-view.
Fucking.
If we thought the Rumble was long.
That's like the fifth hour of a fucking pay-per-view.
Danielson can work miracles. I mean, he didn't really work one with Brian Cage last week. That match was fine. Can he work a miracle with MJF? I'm not too sure. But yeah, that's coming. I want to throw in a quick note as well before we go. I did watch Rampage this week. Adam Page and Emilio Uso was a nice little open. I just managed to squeeze it in before we recorded tonight. But the one thing I wanted to mention was JP's favourite wrestler, Emi Sakura and Jamie Hayter. Went out there and had a banger. And Sakura's gimmick now is that she's like some kind of queen of wrestling or something like that. It's a completely different presentation from when we last seen her. So I'm sure that'll make JP happy as well. Match was a banger.
Wow.
Like, honestly, like it's like just night and day. No more Freddie Mercury impression. Instead, she's doing a Jerry Lawler impression. But the match, once the bell rang, the Jamie Hayter stuff was great. Jamie Hayter she's on such a great run in AEW right now. She's the star of that division for a reason. And it's not just the very catchy entrance music. It was a really, really, you know, well, for the TV match, I'd go like, you know, 3.75 to maybe 4 stars on it. But for a Rampage match, you know, in the AEW women's division, something I'd say, especially for you, JP, it's something to hunt down. I saw a lot of praise of this one going in, and it was earned.
I'm delighted about that. I think that's like, I'm happy about it for her because it just carries on like a run of form where she is the one who stands out in matches, in those tags, any of the singles matches we've seen. It's just like, nah, this is the person you need to go with. I'd also be, and it might sound like, if they're doing this AEW versus WWE Invaders storyline, then I don't think it's a bad thing to delay the stuff with her and Britt Baker for a while. Even if when I watch, I don't know whether or not you go to that like straight away. I still
depends
think whether
when, isn't it? How long can you? If this was WWE,
double or nothing.
Well, WrestleMania's in April, so we can wait till that. Can we wait all the way to May for double or nothing? June to end of May into June time.
I think you can.
Yeah,
if you've got this in between.
Now what's going on, boys? What's this Invader storyline?
You've really got to start watching AEW, Fitz. But JP, do you want to explain AEW storylines to Matt?
it's just something more or less along the lines of like, basically, like, Saraya has died a death, so they've turned her heel. And
Tony Storm. Is he,
and they've rushed it. It's not being done in the right way. The idea of the genesis of a feud like that.
So you'd love it.
Yeah.
No, well, so you know what?
Maybe we'll get to Blood and Guts.
Well, I was going to say, I watched how long was the Acclaimed and the Guns Family Therapy thing. I seen that on YouTube. That was like 6.5 minutes. That was the full one, Benno. I watched
that. Yeah, the extended cut. They chopped it down to like 3 minutes. You watched the proper stuff.
Yeah. I did watch the whole 6.5 minutes of that. And plus, Benno, you've said the word banger too much tonight. You're upsetting Peter Sinatra an awful lot of you, you know. Did you see him today on Twitter? Was it today? Taz, he was fucking hating
like
the word banger.
The word banger, does he? Yeah.
Hey.
No, he doesn't.
That's his line of the sad. idea for a series, JP explains it all, Chris Elliott says it.
They made a reference to that Banger Bros story as well. Mm. I was shocked they made a reference to that on the commentary. As well. I can't say that.
There's no way he knew about that, McAfee. He's only just come back, hasn't he? Did he even know who said it, wasn't he?
You're telling me Pat McAfee doesn't know about Bang Bros?
Oh, he knows that.
He's much more likely to be watching. Oh, he knows. He knows definitely. Oh, he's watching that, all right. Made no mistake.
We didn't mention that. I very much enjoy Pat McAfee. He's like a guilty pleasure of mine. I just like the fact he just turns up and he gives you real reactions to everything that's going on in front of him. And like I say, he was probably a little bit ignorant of the storylines and stuff, but whatever. Him and Michael Cole just having a good time.
He brings the best in Cole. He does. He brings the best in Cole out of you.
If him or Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know it's not a popular show because I know he's hated in some circles, but I like him. He's good. But yeah, that's pretty much it, really, unless there's anything else you wanted to mention, JP.
Unless you really want to go in depth on New Japan doing Strong on Demand and Strong Live.
It'll give us content for the weekend. Right? Gives us the.
I was going to say, that's much more of a weekend show thing. We'll stick it for that. In
JP,
short, yeah, why not?
Alley, that.
it would be. What do you think, Matty? More to the point, do you like the idea of this change in US strategy from New Japan?
What's going on, JP? You got to explain it to me first.
Very, very quickly.
They're doing monthly
pay per views. That's still happening, and then they're cutting it into 4 episodes of Strong, which will be on New Japan World. So everything from Strong is basically going to be in the States once a month doing a show.
Oh, okay.
Or dare I say, do one from the UK as well.
You do that.
Well, Benno, you've got to.
But I wouldn't be trusting that pay per view. We know what happened last time.
You've got to let me off this weekend, mate. This storyline took me over, mate. This is all I can think about.
The emotional, man.
You've got to give me this week off of this, mate. Sorry.
Fair and you've got a 3-hour Raw to watch in the morning, so, you know, I'll let you there.
Exactly.
I'll let you relax. Well, yeah, on that note then, I think that's everything, really. We covered a bit of WWE, covered a bit of AEW, covered the matches of the year and didn't take 6 hours to do it. I think we've done a good job here, lads, unless there's anything else we need to discuss. I think that kind of sums things up. What have we got going on over on the Patreon this week, JP? What can we plug?
So, yes, well, on the Patreon, if you've gone on there, if you haven't gone back and have a look at our at the free week that we put out there in terms of the mixtape that we had, the Dealer's Choice mixtape, you've got my Dealer's Choice selection, I'm assuming, is happening this week of Heroes of World Class. You've got the daily updates, you've got the weekend show as well. I'm going to call it the Critically Praised Weekend Show, even if it's only critically praised by us. but yeah, all of that going on, patreon.com/grapple. And keep an eye out for the Grapple 100 as well.
That'll be coming soon. And yeah, the live, obviously you get on the live tier, you can watch Spotlight Live with us as we are with our patrons here, get the pre-show, get the post-show, we're about to go into a second live weekend show, video versions of all our podcasts and all of that good stuff. But yeah, it's going to be a fun month on the Patreon as we celebrate our 2-year anniversary. And
I can't wait, Ben. Can't wait for this month. You know, I really can't wait for it.
And week one is Blue Velvet Week. Yay for me.
Anyway. Your face, Ben. Honestly, that's one of the highlights of all time.
Watch it.
It'll turn out I love it. Like World of Sport, it'll be my new World of Sport, JP.
You'll love it, mate. You'll be wondering why there's people dancing on the cars and why is he putting on lipstick and talking about what a love letter is. Matty, I think, watched it halfway through and went no, and switched it off before.
But JP, are you sure this is, didn't Bray Wyatt direct this? No.
Fucking dreams. If he came out, right, if Uncle Howdy came out and he was just like, you know, he just went, I don't know, Howdy wants to fuck, like, which is what Frank Booth said, because every other word he says is fuck.
Be all right then, wouldn't it?
Fuck you, motherfucker. Like, he's just properly, like, on it for that. He's glorious. If he came out sniffing fucking gas, yeah, I'd be all over that.
Well, there you go. If you want to hear our thoughts.
There's a heel stable. Them lads.
Anyway, all of that stuff, patreon.com/grapple. We're going to be stare crazy. Patrons, we'll see you on the other side in the post show. Everyone else, have a great week, and we will catch you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.